Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Alrighty, so, the reason that Donald Trump is president-elect again is not just because Donald Trump is a unique figure, out-of-the-box, historical figure. All of that is true, obviously. The biggest reason that Donald Trump is president-elect again is because Joe Biden was dead the entire presidency, and everyone knew it, and the media lied about it, and the White House lied about it. Now it can finally be said, because Joe Biden is exiting office. This should be the biggest presidential scandal in history, because unlike with Woodrow Wilson and Edith Wilson, Woodrow, back during his second term, basically had a stroke and was completely incapacitated, and Edith was running the country. At that time, the media was fairly small. There was not a lot of transparency to the public. It did not require the collusion of thousands of people in order to cover up what was happening to Woodrow Wilson. FDR was functional basically until he died. Situations like what have happened with Joe Biden have never happened in the modern media age, but it happened, and the cover-up was extraordinary, and now it can be said. The Wall Street Journal had a long piece yesterday titled, How the White House Functioned with a Diminished Biden in Charge. Now, by the way, what this means, normally, is that the 25th Amendment should have been applied to Joe Biden. His cabinet should have said he is no longer capable of holding this office, and they should have made Kamala Harris president. But they didn't have the stones to do it, and so instead, they've allowed this diminished president, this person whose brain is not functional, continuing in the office of the presidency of the United States, the most important office on planet Earth, simply because they didn't have the actual guts to oust him. So instead, they hid it. They hid it from the American public, and here's the thing. We all knew it. We all knew it. I think the amount of damage that did to the Democratic ticket this year is almost incalculable. Because no matter how many times Democrats called Republicans liars or a threat to the Republic, no matter how much they said that Donald Trump was not normal, it turns out, you know what's the most not normal thing? Keeping a corpse in the White House, like Weekend at Bernie's, wheeling him around press conference to press conference, wheeling him out and wheeling him in and pretending he's sentient while the rest of the public can see everything that's happening. It was one of the great Emperor's New Clothes moments in American history. According to the Wall Street Journal, to adapt the White House around the needs of a diminished leader, the White House told visitors to keep meetings focused. Interactions with senior Democratic leaders and some cabinet members, including powerful secretaries like Defense Lloyd Austin and Treasury's Janet Yellen, were infrequent or grew less frequent. Some legislative leaders had a hard time getting the president's ear at key moments, including ahead of the U.S.'s disastrous pullout from Afghanistan. That's really early, guys. The disastrous pullout from Afghanistan was September 2021. That was the very beginning of his presidency. So pretty much from the moment he entered office, he was so diminished that cabinet members were not meeting with him, and neither were members of the legislature. And it's not as though anything was important happening, you know, like the pullout from Afghanistan, like October 7th, or like inflation at a 40-year high. He couldn't be bothered, and the Democratic Party couldn't be bothered, because they were so high on their own supply. They believed that the American public hated Donald Trump so much that they could literally pretend that this mummy was president of the United States and functional, even though we could all see that he was not. And the media went along with it. I'm not sure if this is a bigger political scandal or a bigger media scandal. Again, I sort of repeat myself here because, as I've said many times, there is a Democrat media human centipede in which the Democratic Party decides what are the issues that matter most, and the media just repeat them ad nauseum. The legacy media are just stenographers for the Democratic Party. For both of them, it's a massive scandal. According to the Wall Street Journal, senior advisors were often put into roles that some administration officials and lawmakers thought Biden should occupy, with people like National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, senior counselor Steve Ricchetti, and National Economic Council head Lael Brainard and her predecessor frequently in the position of being go-betweens for the president. So he wouldn't meet with people. Instead, there'd be a go-between. Now, the thing is, the go-between was probably making the policy because Joe Biden was not functional. Press aides who compiled packages of news clips for Biden were told by senior staff to exclude negative stories about the president. The president wasn't even talking to his own pollsters, as surveys showed him trailing in the 2024 race. No wonder Joe Biden thought he was winning. He wasn't even shown the polls. According to the Wall Street Journal, presidents always have gatekeepers, but in Biden's case, the walls around him were higher and the controls greater, according to Democratic lawmakers, donors, and aides who worked for Biden in other administrations. There were limits over who Biden spoke with, limits on what they said to him, limits around the sources of information he consumed. They treated him like a toddler. They treated him the way I treat my four-year-old. They pre-screened all the material. They gave him an anodyne world in which everything was hunky-dory and no one could see that he was diminished. The White House operated this way even as the president and his aides pressed forward with his re-election bid. This account of how the White House functioned with an aging leader at the top of its organizational chart is based on interviews with nearly 50 people, including those who participated in or had direct knowledge of the operations. And by the way, I'm here for all the tell-all books that are going to be coming out over the course of the next 3 years, demonstrating the extent of this extraordinary scandal. And it really is an extraordinary, extraordinary scandal. According to the Wall Street Journal, the system put Biden at an unusual remove from cabinet secretaries, the chairs of congressional committees, and other high-ranking officials. It also insulated him from the scrutiny of the American public. The strategies to protect Biden largely worked until June 27th, when Biden stood on an Atlanta debate stage with Trump, searching for words, unable to complete his thoughts on live television. Much of the Democratic establishment had accepted the White House line that Biden was able to take the fight to Trump, even in the face of direct evidence to the contrary. Well, that does raise the question, why would they think that? Why would they think that? You knew that he was gone. I knew that he was gone. We've been making this point since before he took office the first time. What exactly was new? The answer is nothing. As I said, after that debate, the reason the media turned on Joe Biden was not because a light bulb had gone off and suddenly they realized that Joe Biden was not mentally capable. What happened is they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed because now it was clear to everyone just how incapable the president of the United States actually was. They were embarrassed. It's always been about their profile with the American public. And they thought they could get away with it. And then Joe Biden pants them. And that embarrassed them. And they didn't like it. And they turned on Joe Biden. According to the Wall Street Journal, Biden, staffed with advisors since he became a senator at age 30, came to the White House with a small team of fiercely loyal, long-serving aides who knew him and Washington so well they could be particularly effective proxies. They did not tolerate criticism of Biden's performance or broader dissent within the Democratic Party, especially when it came to the president's decision to run for a second term. Yet a sign that the bruising presidential schedule needed to be adjusted for Biden's advanced age had arisen early on, in just the first few months of his term. Administration officials noticed the president became tired if meetings went long and would make mistakes. Okay, again, he was not up to the rigors of the job from basically day one. Ideally, meetings would start later in the day, since Biden has never been at his best first thing in the morning, some of the people said. But he wasn't a morning person? That's the excuse? He wasn't a morning person? His brain didn't work, and y'all lied about it for years until he exposed himself on national television like a predator outside a child's playground mentally. His staff made these adjustments to limit potential missteps by Biden, the people said. The president, known for long rambling sessions, at times pushed in the opposite direction, wanting or just taking more time. If the president was having an off day, meetings would be scrapped altogether. And this is what happens when people get older and their brain doesn't work as well as it used to. They have good days and they have bad days. On one such occasion in the spring of 2021, spring 2021, listen how early this is. Again, the media wanted you to believe that he only fell apart in 2024. Spring 2021, he was elected in winter 2020. He took office in January 2021. Spring 2021 would have been like April. That's 3 months into his term. He has good days and bad days, and today was a bad day, so we're going to address this tomorrow, the former aide recalled the official saying. Adam Smith of Washington found when he tried to share his concerns with the president ahead of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 that Biden was very hard to reach. He was the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, and he was alarmed by what he viewed as overly optimistic comments from Biden as the administration assembled plans for the operation. I was begging them to set expectations low, said Smith. He sought to talk with Biden directly to share his insights about the region, but couldn't get on the phone with him. After the disastrous withdrawal, Smith made a critical comment to the Washington Post about the administration lacking a clear-eyed view of the U.S.-backed Ashraf Ghani government's durability. It was among comments that triggered an angry phone call from Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who ended up getting an earful from the frustrated chairman. Shortly after, Smith got an apologetic call from Biden. It was the only call Biden ever made to Smith in 4 years. Representative Jim Himes of Connecticut, top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, said his interactions with the White House in the past 2 years were primarily focused on the reauthorization of FISA. Biden's senior advisors and other top administration officials worked with Himes on the issue. He praised the collaboration, but Biden was not part of the conversation. One lawmaker who did get one-on-one time with Biden noticed the president lacked stamina and relied heavily on staff. Senator Joe Manchin, he said that the job required a level of energy he wasn't sure Biden had been able to sustain. Quote, I just thought maybe the president just lost that fight, the ability to continue to stay on, just grind it. He said Biden's staff played a much bigger role in driving his agenda than he had experienced in other administrations. And they were all on. Janet Yellen went out there and said he was totally fine. Kamala Harris went out there and said he was totally fine before stabbing him directly between the shoulder blades and throwing his body off the back of the boat. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, Iran launched a massive barrage of nearly 200 ballistic missiles at the Holy Land. This isn't just another conflict in the Middle East. Israel and her people are facing attacks from enemies on all sides who seek her destruction. But there's hope. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is on the ground, providing food, shelter, and safety to those in need during this crisis. Since the war started, thousands of reservists, everyday Israeli citizens, have left their families to serve their country. Soldiers have been injured, and their families need our support. Your gift of $100 today helps the fellowship provide food and other necessities to these families to help them survive. Here's what I need you to do right now. Go to BenForTheFellowship.org. That's BenForTheFellowship.org to make a gift today. In the face of these many threats, the fellowship's ongoing work providing security to Israelis has never been more important. Remember, that's BenForTheFellowship.org. God bless. And thank you. Now is the moment to give. Never has there been, in recent memory, a more dangerous time for the state of Israel and for the people of Israel. Remember, BenForTheFellowship.org. Thank you so much. Already coming up, Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen kept vouching for how well Joe Biden was. It turns out she was lying the whole time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Looking for a unique gift this Christmas? Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has distinct treasures to choose from, including Christmas decorations, vinyl records, DVDs, vintage toys, and antique jewelry, such as brooches and rings, necklaces and bracelets. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage and Collectibles also offers vintage clothing and accessories, such as retro dresses and scarves, jackets and hats, along with vintage furniture, tablecloths and silverware, cookware and glassware. And don't forget Mantiques, including military memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry, such as crosses and rings, sports memorabilia, and collectibles. Come find that perfect gift this Christmas at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Monday 10 to 6, close Tuesday and Wednesday, open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday noon to 5.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Wall Street Journal has a long report about how everyone knew that Joe Biden was not mentally there. Truly amazing stuff. But Treasury Secretary Yellen, who was out there saying that he was totally fine, also, according to the Wall Street Journal, quote, had an arm's-length relationship with the president for much of the administration. She was part of the economics team that regularly briefed the president, but one-on-one discussions were rare. She typically dealt with the National Economic Council or with the president's advisors, rather than Biden directly, according to people familiar with the interactions. Some current and former administration officials said they would have expected a closer relationship between the two. Over 4 years, Biden held 9 full cabinet meetings. 9! In 4 years. By contrast, in their first terms, Obama had 19 and Trump had 25. He had 9. He had 1 in all of 2024. 1. And it is just amazing that they thought they could get away with this. Biden's team also insulated him on the campaign trail, according to the Wall Street Journal. In the summer of 2023, one prominent Democratic donor put together a small event for Biden's reelect bid. The donor was shocked when a campaign official told him the attendees should not expect to have a free-ranging Q&A session with the president. Instead, the organizer was told to send in 2 or 3 questions ahead of time that Joe Biden would answer. At some events, the Biden campaign printed pre-approved questions on note cards and gave donors the cards to read the questions. Even with all the steps, Biden made flubs. Some donors said they noticed how staff stepped in to mask other signs of decline. Throughout his presidency, Biden was assisted by a small group of aides who were laser-focused on him in a far different way than when he was VP, or how former Presidents Bill Clinton or Obama were staffed during their presidencies. These aides were often with the president as he traveled. They stayed within earshot or eye distance. They would often repeat basic instructions to him, such as where to enter or exit a station. I remember, it was cheap fakes. We showed video on the show repeatedly for years that Joe Biden was losing it. And these were cheap fakes, according to the White House. And, for a while, the legacy media. Every time he pointed out, for example, that Joe Biden had to be guided off stage, this was apparently you just being mean. Obviously, he didn't need to be guided off the stage. It was just people being nice to him. When Barack Obama, at a giant fundraiser, guided him physically off the stage, Joe Biden froze up on the stage, and Joe Biden had to physically be guided off the stage by Barack Obama. And we all pointed it out. We were told that was a cheap fake by the legacy media. The president's team of pollsters had limited access to Biden. By the 2024 campaign, pollsters were not talking to the president about their findings. Instead, they sent memos that went to top campaign staff. This summer, Democratic insiders became alarmed by the way Biden described his own polling, publicly characterizing the race as a toss-up when polls released in the weeks after the disastrous June debate consistently showed Trump ahead. They worried he wasn't getting an unvarnished look at his standing in the race. And then apparently, on July 11th, when Biden's top advisors met behind closed doors with Democratic senators, and the advisors laid out a roadmap for Biden's victory, the message was so disconnected from public polling that it left Democratic senators incredulous. It spurred Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to speak to Biden directly. Now, the thing about all of this is that we knew all of this. This is the part that makes it scandalous. We all knew it. It was all right there. They are so brazen in the media. They were so brazen in this White House. They thought they could get away with all of it. Now it can be said. Now the thing can be said. And this, by the way, is a pattern in the legacy media. The now it can be said thing. So for years, we were told transgender medicine was a life-saving protocol. And then it turns out, as Britain is banning transgender medicine, now, all of a sudden, you're getting editorials from the Washington Post saying, hey, you know, there might be some problems with this. Now it can be said. Hey, if you're in the business of now it can be said, you are a liar by nature. You fundamentally betrayed your job. And you don't get credit for coming out after Joe Biden's term is basically over and saying the thing. You don't get credit for that. America was running on autopilot with Joe Biden's aides figuring out foreign policy and domestic policy. And Joe Biden in the other room sleeping. And we're supposed to believe that you get to do the, oh, well, at least now we're bearing our souls. The media are always late and they are always wrong, okay, which is not a mistake. It means that they are wrong in the moment. They are wrong in the moment, in the time that it matters. Because it doesn't matter now whether Joe Biden was senile or not. He's leaving in less than a month. It matters a little bit. They should 25th Amendment him today because you really shouldn't have a day where the president is non-functional. But it doesn't matter all that much. You know when it mattered? It mattered in 2021. when the United States was losing soldiers in Afghanistan because Joe Biden was non-compos mentis. You know when it mattered? It mattered throughout the Gaza war when a diminished Joe Biden was threatening Israel with arms cutoffs. You know when it mattered? It mattered during this entire Ukraine war when Joe Biden was simultaneously suggesting that we were going to endlessly fund the Ukraine war and also that there was no off-ramp that he could name. In fact, it matters an awful lot. It matters because the presidency matters an awful lot. You wonder why Donald Trump was reelected? This is a major factor. Joe Biden's mental status meant that it suddenly became palatable to Americans to look at Donald Trump as normal. That was always the left's shtick. Their shtick was, Donald Trump is not normal. You can't hand that guy power. He's not normal. But here's the thing. Donald Trump has now been the most normal person in politics for several years. Why? Because of Joe Biden. Because of the Democrats. That is why. Because of the media. I've never seen institutions on the left blow out their credibility the way they have over the past 3 years for literally nothing. For literally nothing. They got nothing in return. They got a terrible administration from a diminished elderly man. And to just add a cherry on top of that sundae, they did it on behalf of Kamala Harris, an absolute trash heap of a candidate who with $1.5 billion and a glide path to the presidency couldn't land the plane. That is what they got. They got nothing in return, and they should get nothing in return. Chris Chaliza of the Washington Post, he has now come out and apologized. Oh, we probably should have said something. Apology not accepted, Captain Nita. No, you do not get to apologize now. Not even with your dumb blue glasses. You don't get to apologize. You should have done it in the moment. It is no longer relevant. It's no longer relevant. This is, if Walter Duranty shows up in 1952 and says, hey, by the way, I'm sorry I screwed up that whole coverage of the Ukrainian famine thing. It doesn't matter no more. You apologizing for not having reported the thing we all knew. And by the way, called us liars for noting. Apology not accepted.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline.
Okay. I'm sorry, but no. No. The answer is no. You don't get to lie for years on end and then be like, oh, yeah, by the way, sorry. No. All your credibility is down the toilet and gone. Okay, well, the good news is that this giant presidential lie, this enormous, enormous lie, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy, but the conspiracy was right out in the open. It was a conspiracy between members of the White House and members of the Democratic Congress and members of the media to cover up Joe Biden's mental condition. That does not require any speculation. That is a fact. That is a reality. The consequences of the unraveling of that conspiracy, which you could all see right in front of our eyes, again, the single worst decision, I think, in modern American political history was Joe Biden daring Donald Trump to debate him. Truly an awful decision. And the reason that Joe Biden did it is because Joe Biden had such an ironclad bubble that he actually believed he was fine. He was the only person in the room who didn't know that he wasn't well. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, the consequence of that was, of course, Donald Trump becoming president. And I got to say, going into the new year, I am super optimistic about the Trump presidency. Last night, I had the opportunity to speak at the Turning Point Summit America Fest over in Phoenix, Arizona. And man, I have to say, Charlie Kirk, that dude knows how to put on a show. So Charlie, I've known Charlie since Charlie was 18 years old. Really, I mean, he's only 31 now, which is pretty incredible. Charlie was 18 years old when I met him. Just a brash young kid, really smart, real go-getter. He was hanging around the David Horowitz Freedom Center conference at the Breakers near here in Palm Beach. And I met Charlie, and I immediately started hooking him up with donors because I said, this dude is going to be the head of the RNC one day. He was obviously aggressive. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to work a room. He had good principles. Well, Charlie has built an amazing organization in Turning Point. And this America Fest event that he puts on, which now has 20,000 people that are going to show up over the course of the next 4 days, amazing event. I'm telling everybody from students to just general members of the public, I had the opportunity to speak there last night and talk about what I was optimistic about for the future of the country. I also got to announce a project that we at Daily Wire Plus are doing with Turning Point. We'll announce that in just a few moments here on the show. But it was a great event, really a terrific event. And what I talked about is the fact that I'm optimistic because President Trump is going to make the economy robust again. He's going to make the economy dynamic again because Trump is a win-first guy. He only wants the winning. That's what he wants. He's a total pragmatist. He's a utilitarian pragmatist. A lot of people, including me, have observed Donald Trump is not a conservative. That's true. He's not an ideological conservative, but his gut instincts are conservative because conservatism works in the real world. And what Donald Trump cares about is what works. When it comes to the economy, what works are free markets. When it comes to the economy, what works is economic dynamism and innovation. And Donald Trump knows that because he's a business person. All right, coming up, we'll talk about the second Trump term, what I'm optimistic about. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales events at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR. To thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. All of us at North Valley Distributing wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious home-style meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So as I've been discussing, I'm very optimistic about a second Trump term, particularly on economics. The reason I'm talking to so many giant company founders these days, all those founders are wildly optimistic about what's going to happen in the next 4 years. Why? Because at the very least, it's do no harm. At the very least, you know this administration is not going to come in and start upending every ridiculous table they can find. They're not going to come in and start talking about how business needs to be punished for its success. They're not going to talk about how unionization, for example, is the cure for what ails America's economic situation. They're not going to talk about how regulation is going to fix everything. And that's not what this administration is about. You can look forward to a more robust economy under President Trump. On foreign policy, you can look forward to solidification of foreign policy. Joe Biden is the worst foreign policy president in my lifetime, which is an amazing thing to say, considering there's a man named Barack Obama who exists. Joe Biden has been a horror show on foreign policy. And as I've talked about, there is a Trump doctrine, and the Trump doctrine is basically FAFO. The Trump doctrine is American citizens come first, America comes first, which should be obvious, but American citizens do have interests in what happens abroad. So, for example, the freedom of the seas, the freedom of the Taiwan Strait or the Malacca Strait, so that, you know, the free flow of goods can actually allow us to receive goods, products, and services in an affordable way. The United States has an interest in the free flow of energy and oil, which is why we're interested in, say, Saudi Arabia, and also in drilling domestically. The United States has an interest in curbing the regional ambitions of Iran, which is responsible for killing a vast bevy of American soldiers abroad, as well as targeting America's allies everywhere from the Middle East to Europe to South America. We have an interest in containing China, the American public. Perhaps China most of all, because China is not only stealing our intellectual property, China is not only threatening Taiwan, which is the source of all the semiconductors that are useful in sophisticated technology. China's not only threatening all of those various shipping channels that I mentioned earlier. China's also shipping the precursors for fentanyl into Mexico, and Mexico's then shipping those over the border via the drug cartels. There are all sorts of foreign interests that Americans have. Which brings us to the second point about Donald Trump's foreign policy, which is we should calibrate our action to the level of interest the American public has in the thing. So if a bad thing is happening in some far-off land that's really bad, and if we can do something minor to help that, great. But if it requires a serious commitment, it better be a serious matter to the American public. And everybody ought to do their part. So when it comes to Ukraine, when President Trump comes in and says NATO members need to pay their fair share, he is correct about that, and he always was correct about that. And then finally, if the United States is going to actually use force, we should use force in the most effective possible way. The first thing in war is losing, and Donald Trump is not a loser. He will use the credible threat of force to actually get things done. You can already see the world beginning to reshape around Donald Trump's foreign policy. And finally, Donald Trump is going to get us back to some sense of normalcy. The Democrats have decided that they are going to ride or die on the principle that the American family is somehow bad, that the American family is somehow a repressive institution. Churches are oppressive institutions. And basically, we should all think of ourselves as freewheeling, atomistic individuals that are bundles of sexual desires. And if those sexual desires can be pleased on a momentary basis, well, then that's where true happiness comes from. That is not the vision of happiness that the American dream promises. You can see this, by the way, in the contrast between what Democrats think is weird and what Republicans think is weird. Republicans think drag queen story hour is weird. Why? Because it's frickin' weird. Democrats think J.D. Vance is weird because he has a wife and kids, grew up in bad circumstances, and made something of himself after serving in the military, and then is vice president-elect at the ripe old age of 39. They think that guy's weird. Normalcy is returning. These are all things I talked about at the Turning Point Conference yesterday. We did a really nice Q&A. We'll put that up online for you to see. It was great. Got to interact with the crowd. And I'm very optimistic. That optimism rests on efficacy. Donald Trump is coming into office with some obstacles, too. Going into the next year, this is really important. Donald Trump is not just coming in as, you know, the singular dictator who can determine exactly what he wants to do. Everything that we love about the American government is also the thing that makes it hard to get things done in the American government. When a Democrat like Joe Biden is in charge, you are very happy about the checks and balances. And when a Republican is in charge, Republicans get frustrated with the checks and balances. That's perfectly normal. It's perfectly natural. It's also why the checks and balances exist. Right now, Donald Trump is going to enter office with, effectively speaking, a one-vote majority in the House. That is an absolutely slim majority. I mean, that is the slimmest possible majority. He's also going to enter office with a three-vote majority in the Senate. Four if you're counting vote number 50 and then J.D. Vance breaking a tie. Okay, these are not large majorities. They're particularly not large majorities because there are a bunch of people who are moderate Republicans in purple districts in the House. And in the Senate, you have a few senators who are from purplish states. And so what that means is that everything that Donald Trump wants that has to be gotten done legislatively is going to require a compromise. And that's going to require somebody to broker the compromise at the top level. In this case, John Thune in the Senate and Mike Johnson in the House. We'll get some more on this in a moment. First, make your holidays bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app is really simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's available to play in more than 40-plus states, including California and Texas. Join now, because this holiday season, Prize Picks is giving away two free picks in December, and they're giving away $30-plus million in rewards during Pickmas. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code Shapiro. Get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code Shapiro on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Again, Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's available to play in more than 40-plus states. Go check them out right now by downloading the app. Prize Picks, run your game. Alrighty, so all of the sort of misplaced ire over the past 72 hours at Mike Johnson, as though Mike Johnson was just sort of freelancing and freewheeling when he came up with the Cromnibus package. That's not true. It's not true. Now, we can argue over whether Speaker of the House Johnson made too many concessions in order to get the things that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance wanted in the original bill. I would say, sure, there's some things in there that definitely should not have been in there. And frankly, I'm glad that that version of the bill went down. It had too much pork. And as I said yesterday, I think the amount of disaster relief in the bill is excessive. I think the farm subsidies are excessive. However, blaming Johnson for that is ignoring the fact that there must be coordination, heavy coordination, between Donald Trump, who establishes what he would like to get done, Mike Johnson, who establishes what can get done in the House, and outside influencers who are pointing out the discrepancy between the two. It does have to be this interplay, because otherwise what you're going to end up with is a circular firing squad. And that circular firing squad dynamic is what we've seen over the course of the past several days. Now, I'm optimistic that it's going to stop. I'm optimistic that there will be action by the House of Representatives to avoid a government shutdown. Now, why does it matter whether there's a government shutdown? Now, the truth is, it's not going to be the end of the world if there's a government shutdown. We had a 35-day government shutdown back in 2018. The world did not end. It was not particularly awful. Lost productivity was like $3 billion, supposedly. All the vital checks still went out, like Social Security. So if there were to be a government shutdown, the media would play it as though the world was ending. The world would not be ending. However, politically, it would not benefit President Trump to go into his new presidency, not only with a government shutdown, but also with having to presumably then deal with the fallout in the House. Like, that's not what you need if you're President Trump. You need a machine that's ready to go day one. That is the only focus. It should be the only focus from the Trump administration. I think now that reality is setting in, that will be the only focus from the Trump administration. Get past this thing, get to the administration, and then coordinate everything between the leadership and the Congress. Do that, and you can have an effective administration. I'll give you an example of when the circular firing squad starts. So, as we discussed yesterday, originally, the Cromnibus package, the continuing resolution, could have been done with just a three-page bill that says we're going to continue to fund the government at current levels up through January 20th or January 10th. Right? That could have been the bill. Instead, Trump, Vance, Johnson, they all wanted disaster relief provisions in the bill because of the fallout from Hurricane Helene in North Carolina, among others. And they also wanted farm subsidies in the bill, because they believe that farmers have been shortchanged by the Democrats. In order to get those things, you are going to need to make concessions to Democrats, because there are some Republicans who would drop off the bill based on the spending levels. In order to get those concessions, you'd have to give some concessions. And some of those concessions, I think, were frankly wrong. Other concessions I think were overblown. So, for example, the idea that there was a pay raise for Congress that was 74, but that's not true. There's a cost of living adjustment for Congress. Is that like a major issue in American politics? I think it's a cheap demagogic issue. Do I think it's like a huge issue? Not really. Is that going to break the bank? Not particularly. As far as the Global Engagement Center, a place that we literally sued, and that is a State Department offshoot that engages in soft censorship. My understanding is the reason that Republicans in the House, including Speaker Johnson, were willing to sort of make that concession is the assumption was as soon as Trump entered office, Secretary of State Rubio would come in and just kill the Global Engagement Center anyways. You can fund whatever you want. He was going to kill it anyway. Okay. With all of that said, the reality is it was not a good bill. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy pointed out all the flaws in the bill. And President Trump and J.D. Vance, who had coordinated with Johnson on the bill, they decided that they didn't want the bill after all. And so they decided to pull the bill and then suggest an alternative. So yesterday played out as total chaos in the Congress of the United States. It played out as total chaos because, again, I think that reality is being sort of gradually accepted. And the reality, as I mentioned yesterday, is that politics is a coalitional game. The Republican caucus is very fractious, and they have an incredibly narrow majority. And that means you're not going to get everything you want. I'll explain in just one second. First, this Christmas, as we celebrate the gift of life, you have an opportunity to share that same gift with a mom and her baby. Picture a young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, feeling overwhelmed, alone, unsure what to do. She's desperately searching for hope. That's where Preborn Ministries steps in. Kelsey found herself facing an unplanned pregnancy. Like many women in her situation, she felt scared, uncertain about what to do. Having already experienced one abortion, she promised God she didn't want to go through that again, but life has a way of testing promises. By the grace of God, Kelsey and her partner found their way to a Preborn Network clinic. From the moment they walked through the doors, they were overwhelmed by love and compassion. There, Kelsey was introduced to her unborn baby through a sonogram. Hearing that tiny heartbeat brought them both to tears. Together, they chose life. Today, Kelsey is deeply grateful for her beautiful son, whose joy lights up her life. This Christmas, for just $28, you can help save a life. Thanks to a special matching grant, your gift will be doubled by Preborn. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. You're not going to do anything more important today. Go check them out right now. Dial #250, say keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. All right, coming up, we'll talk about the ins and outs of the various proposals floating around Congress. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a lot of legislative proposals have been floated in Congress regarding avoiding this government shutdown. After the death of the Cromnibus package at the hands of President Trump and Elon Musk, the new proposal that President Trump put forward was a continuing resolution that would include funding for example, farmers as well as disaster relief, and also would increase the debt ceiling for 2 full years. President Trump put out a statement in support of this proposal. Again, Speaker Johnson's been coordinating with Trump every step of the way. That is not a secret. That's obviously public. President Trump put out a statement saying, success in Washington. Speaker Mike Johnson and the House have come to a very good deal for the American people. The newly agreed to American Relief Act of 2024 will keep the government open, fund our great farmers and others, and provide relief for those severely impacted by the devastating hurricanes. A very important piece, vital to the America First agenda, was added as well. The date of the very unnecessary debt ceiling will be pushed out 2 years to January 30th, 2027. Now we can make America great again very quickly, which is what the people gave us a mandate to accomplish. All Republicans, even Democrats, should do what is best for our country and vote yes for this bill tonight. So Trump, of course, was very, very excited about this new revised package. There was only one giant problem, which is that it went down to flaming defeat in the House. And the reason it went down to flaming defeat in the House is because a lot of Republicans aren't actually all that fond of abolishing the debt ceiling. Why? Because the debt ceiling has been a tool for ratcheting back government spending as long as I've been covering politics. Many Republicans were openly opposed to the idea. In fact, when this actual vote took place, 38 Republicans voted against it. Those 38 Republicans included many very strong Trump allies, including people like Representative Thomas Massie, including Representative Chip Roy. Now, Chip became the focus of the president's ire because Chip, who is a very staunch and very consistent conservative, here is Chip Roy explaining, listen, I'm not going to vote for a massive debt ceiling increase unless we get concomitant cuts. That's what I'm here for.
I'm absolutely sickened by a party that campaigns on fiscal responsibility and has the temerity to go forward to the American people and say, you think this is fiscally responsible. It is absolutely ridiculous.
President Trump then proceeded to rip into Chip Roy, suggesting that Chip Roy was, quote, the very unpopular congressman from Texas. He's getting in the way, as usual, of having yet another great Republican victory, all for the sake of some cheap publicity for himself. Republican obstructionists have to be done away with. The Democrats are using them, and we can't let that happen. Our country is far better off closing up for a period of time than it is agreeing to the things the Democrats want to force upon us. Biden is president. It's his obligation to properly lead. We're there to do the right thing, and we can't agree with what Biden and the Democrats are demanding. Weak and ineffective people like Chip have to be dismissed as being utterly unknowledgeable as to the ways of politics and as to making America great again. Put America first and go for the victory, even if it means shutting down the government for a period of time. We had an overwhelming victory just 4 weeks ago, and we're not going to let Democrats forget it so quickly. Chip Roy is just another ambitious guy with no talent. By the way, how is Bob Good doing? Bob Good, of course, is primaried by somebody who's backed by Trump. I hope some talented challengers are getting ready in the great state of Texas to go after Chip in the primary. He won't have a chance. And Roy responded, saying, quote, my position is simple. I'm not going to raise or suspend the debt ceiling, racking up more debt, without significant and real spending cuts attached to it. I've been negotiating to that end. No apologies. Chip Roy is not wrong in this particular thing. 37 other Republicans agreed with him. It turns out that politics is not just a matter of saying the thing. You actually have to go negotiate the coalitional politics of the thing. And this is where I am concerned about the future. Listen, Democrats are not going to help Trump out no matter what. We know this. Even if Democrats agreed with the bill, they're not going to vote for it. Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, he called the proposal laughable yesterday.
The Musk-Johnson proposal is not serious. It's laughable. Extreme MAGA Republicans are driving us to a government shutdown.
Okay, and they're perfectly happy to have a government shutdown at this point because they believe that it will be blamed on President Trump. And listen, Trump believes it will be blamed on Biden. No one cares about Biden. This is the problem. Biden's dead. This is the point that Wolf Blitzer on CNN was making to Republicans. How are you going to credibly blame this on Democrats? Now, again, this actually is Democrats' fault. Chuck Schumer prevented the normal appropriations process in the Senate from going forward. That's why you end up with these year-end Cromnibus packages. With that said, on just a PR level, when you have a deal that's been negotiated with presumably a level of approval from Trump and Vance, and then it gets undercut and then undersold and then destroyed, and then the replacement deal gets shut down by 38 Republicans, hard to say that that is about the Democrats rather than internal caucus warfare.
Let me just point out, Congressman, as of right now, if you take a look at the roll call, 31 of your fellow Republicans in the House of Representatives are voting against this current bill right now. Right. So how can you say this is the Democrats' fault when you're in the majority?
Wolf, I love you, Wolf, but you got to stop just trying to defend the Democrats here. The fact is that we have a number of Republicans that have never voted for a continuing resolution, have never voted to lift the debt ceiling. This bill requires two-thirds of the House, not an absolute majority. It requires two-thirds. So the fact that you have Democrats who normally would vote for this, refusing to do so, not because they disagree with a clean CR, not because they disagree with disaster relief, not because they disagree with aid to our farmers. No, they're doing so because they're upset that the debt ceiling increase is being taken off the table as leverage for them in future negotiations. That's what they're upset about. And you know what, Wolf? That's why Washington is broken.
Again, Representative Waller, he's not wrong here, but that's not the way they're going to play in the public view. Now, what actually happens if there's a government shutdown? As I say before, these tend to be very, very overblown. But according to Axios, for thousands of non-essential federal employees, a shutdown means they stop working. Now, the reality is they'll stop working for a short period of time, then the government shutdown will end, and they will go back to work. During the last government shutdown, from December 2018 to January 2019, about 420,000 federal employees were required to work without pay, while another 350,000 were furloughed from their jobs without pay. Accepted employees are those who keep working. Their responsibilities include services like emergency work involving the safety of human life or the protection of property. And then, of course, the federal employees are eligible for retroactive pay if they keep working while they're on the job. So what exactly gets impacted? Not Social Security. Not SNAP, that's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, food stamps. Not veteran benefits. Not passport issuance. Not even education and student loans. Pretty much national parks, Smithsonian Museum, all the things that the people in the media love to cover but aren't sort of the day-to-day vital necessities of what people think of when they think of the government. So on a realistic level, is it a huge deal if the government shuts down? No. On a political level, is it good for President Trump to go into his administration with a government shutdown largely caused by a fractious Republican caucus? The answer there is no. Republican Steve Womack of Arkansas, he points out that this is not going to redound to Republicans' benefit if there's a giant government shutdown right now.
Here's the problem with shutting the government down is eventually it has to be reopened. And under what conditions would it be reopened? If you are able to extract concessions from the other side, then that's one thing. But if they're dug in and they're not going to give, then before long you're going to see the real impact on everyday Americans that a government shutdown actually proposes. And the results of that, I think, would be disastrous to both the new majorities in the House and the Senate and the incoming president.
Okay, so where exactly do Republicans go from here? Well, over at Punchbowl News, there's a lot of speculation by Jake Sherman, who does a good job over there covering the news, as to what exactly happens next. And there are a few possibilities. One is they go back to Plan A, the original deal that got shut down. Possibility two is a clean CR, right? That short bill that says we continue funding probably through January 10th. There is the possibility that they try the same thing again. They try to go back to the board with the same bill. I think that is unlikely. They could also try a new negotiated settlement, theoretically, with Democrats. Or they could just pass the bill from yesterday without the debt ceiling increase. Right? That includes the farm subsidies and includes the disaster relief and doesn't include some Democratic proposals. And it doesn't have the debt ceiling increase. And see if they can get that by the Republicans. Okay, but the reality of politics is such. This is the thing that's important to remember going forward. President Trump needs to be on the same page with the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House needs to be on the same page with President Trump, which I think has been happening. Elon Musk needs to be on the same page with both. Republicans need to be on the same page. This is not rocket science here. You're going to get gridlock. I'm all for the messy game of politics ushering in a better policy. But when that mess becomes chaos, you don't even get the policy. But folks, I just want to say thank you to our entire radio audience, a vast radio audience. As you know, the show is not going to continue on radio. We've made the decision that we're going to be online podcast streaming only. But it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to be on talk radio. I've dreamt of being on talk radio at this level since I was a kid. Being able to live out that dream with you has been an amazing privilege and a pleasure. We'll see you online at Daily Wire Plus.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Last-minute budget bill to prevent a government shutdown prevails in the House. The bill now goes to the Senate, where it's expected to pass with only an hour or so remaining before an expected shutdown. Announcing the House vote tally, Representative Marcus Mariano gives the final vote count, passing the spending bill.
On this vote, the yeas are 366, the nays 34, one member voting present, two-thirds being in the affirmative. The rules are suspended. The bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
The package would fund the government at current levels through March 14th, extend the farm bill for 1 year, and appropriate billions of dollars in disaster relief and assistance for farmers. Bernie Bennett has more on the story.
The chamber voted 366 to 34 to 1 in support of the legislation, clearing the two-thirds threshold needed for passage since GOP leadership brought the bill to the floor under the fast-track suspension of the rules process. All Democrats except one, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett of Texas, who voted present, joined 170 Republicans in voting yes. Speaker Mike Johnson, after the vote, lauded the legislation as, quote, America First legislation because it allows us to be set up to deliver for the American people. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, Russian missiles targeting Kyiv after Ukraine fired U.S.-made missiles across the border. Correspondent Charles Della Desma reports.
At least three loud blasts were heard in Kyiv shortly before sunrise, the city administration saying later falling missile debris caused damage and sparked fires in three districts of the capital. The attack knocked out heating to hundreds of residential buildings, over a dozen medical facilities, and 30 schools and kindergartens. The Russian ministry says the strikes in response to a Ukrainian missile attack on Russia's Rostov border region earlier on Friday. I'm Charles Delezma.
More news at townhall.com.
Hi, everyone. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-818-0200. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell our listeners who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here to help the listeners. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma should give us a call right now and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-818-0200.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. If you or a loved one were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for cash compensation. 800-818-0200.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Stocks rebounded to end the week.
The S&P 500 rallied 1.1% Friday to shave its loss for the week down to 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 498 points. It's about 1.2%. The Nasdaq Composite gained 1%. A report said a measure of inflation the Federal Reserve likes to use was slightly lower last month than had been expected. That's an encouraging signal after the Fed shocked markets on Wednesday by saying worries about inflation could keep it from cutting interest rates in 2025 as much as earlier thought. Treasury yields fell in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note dropped to 4.53%. Seth Sitel, New York.
An inflation gauge that is closely watched by the Federal Reserve barely rose last month in a sign that price pressures cooled off after 2 months of sharp gains. Prices rose just 0.1% from October to November. Breaking news and analysis found at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Alaska Governor Mike DeWine has a wish for the incoming Trump administration.
This includes oil and gas exploration in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and reversing restrictions on logging and road building. Dunleavy has asked President-elect Trump to issue a state-specific executive order aimed at achieving those goals and others. Along with other Republican political leaders in the state, he has expressed excitement about Mr. Trump's return to the White House and sees him as being much more friendly to resource development in Alaska than President Biden. John Scott reporting.
Amazon delivery drivers and Starbucks baristas are on strike in a handful of cities as they seek to exert pressure on the two major companies to recognize them as unionized employees or to meet demands for an inaugural labor contract. Strikes during busy periods like the holidays can help unions exercise leverage. You'll find breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor reporting.
Looking for a unique gift this Christmas? Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has distinct treasures to choose from, including Christmas decorations, vinyl records, DVDs, vintage toys, and antique jewelry, such as brooches and rings, necklaces and bracelets. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage and Collectibles also offers vintage clothing and accessories, such as retro dresses and scarves, jackets and hats, along with vintage furniture, tablecloths and silverware, cookware, and glassware. And don't forget Mantiques, including military memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry such as crosses and rings, sports memorabilia, and collectibles. Come find that perfect gift this Christmas at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Monday 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday noon to 5.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Alrighty, so, the reason that Donald Trump is president-elect, again, is not just because Donald Trump is a unique figure, out-of-the-box, historical figure. All of that is true, obviously. The biggest reason that Donald Trump is president-elect, again, is because Joe Biden was dead the entire presidency, and everyone knew it, and the media lied about it, and the White House lied about it. Now it can finally be said, because Joe Biden is exiting office. This should be the biggest presidential scandal in history, because unlike with Woodrow Wilson and Edith Wilson, Woodrow, back during his second term, basically had a stroke and was completely incapacitated, and Edith was running the country. At that time, the media was fairly small. There was not a lot of transparency to the public. It did not require the collusion of thousands of people in order to cover up what was happening to Woodrow Wilson. FDR was functional basically until he died. Situations like what have happened with Joe Biden have never happened in the modern media age, but it happened, and the cover-up was extraordinary, and now it can be said. The Wall Street Journal had a long piece yesterday titled, How the White House Functioned with a Diminished Biden in Charge. Now, by the way, what this means, normally, is that the 25th Amendment should have been applied to Joe Biden. His cabinet should have said he is no longer capable of holding this office, and they should have made Kamala Harris president, but they didn't have the stones to do it. And so instead, they've allowed this diminished president, this person whose brain is not functional, continuing in the office of the presidency of the United States, the most important office on planet Earth, simply because they didn't have the actual guts to oust him. So instead, they hid it. They hid it from the American public. And here's the thing. We all knew it. We all knew it. I think the amount of damage that did to the Democratic ticket this year is almost incalculable. Because no matter how many times Democrats called Republicans liars or a threat to the Republic, no matter how much they said that Donald Trump was not normal, it turns out, you know what's the most not normal thing? Keeping a corpse in the White House, like Weekend at Bernie's, wheeling him around, press conference to press conference, wheeling him out and wheeling him in and pretending he's sentient while the rest of the public can see everything that's happening. It was one of the great Emperor's New Clothes moments in American history. According to the Wall Street Journal, to adapt the White House around the needs of a diminished leader, the White House told visitors to keep meetings focused. Interactions with senior Democratic leaders and some cabinet members, including powerful secretaries like Defense Lloyd Austin and Treasury's Janet Yellen, were infrequent or grew less frequent. Some legislative leaders had a hard time getting the president's ear at key moments, including ahead of the U.S.'s disastrous pullout from Afghanistan. That's really early, guys. The disastrous pullout from Afghanistan was September 2021. That was the very beginning of his presidency. So pretty much from the moment he entered office, he was so diminished that cabinet members were not meeting with him and neither were members of the legislature. And it's not as if anything was important happening, you know, like the pullout from Afghanistan, like October 7th, or like inflation at a 40-year high. He couldn't be bothered, and the Democratic Party couldn't be bothered, because they were so high on their own supply. They believed that the American public hated Donald Trump so much that they could literally pretend that this mummy was president of the United States and functional, even though we could all see that he was not. And the media went along with it. I'm not sure if this is a bigger political scandal or a bigger media scandal. Again, I sort of repeat myself here because, as I've said many times, there is a Democrat media human centipede in which the Democratic Party decides What are the issues that matter most? And the media just repeat them ad nauseum. The legacy media are just stenographers for the Democratic Party. For both of them, it's a massive scandal. According to the Wall Street Journal, senior advisors were often put into roles that some administration officials and lawmakers thought Biden should occupy, with people like National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, senior counselor Steve Ricchetti, and National Economic Council head Lael Brainard and her predecessor frequently in the position of being go-betweens for the president. So he wouldn't meet with people. Instead, there'd be a go-between. Now, the thing is, the go-between was probably making the policy because Joe Biden was not functional. Press aides who compiled packages of news clips for Biden were told by senior staff to exclude negative stories about the president. The president wasn't even talking to his own pollsters, as surveys showed him trailing in the 2024 race. No wonder Joe Biden thought he was winning. He wasn't even shown the polls. According to the Wall Street Journal, presidents always have gatekeepers, but in Biden's case, the walls around him were higher and the controls greater, according to Democratic lawmakers, donors, and aides who worked for Biden in other administrations. There were limits over who Biden spoke with. Limits on what they said to him. Limits around the sources of information he consumed. They treated him like a toddler. They treated him the way I treat my four-year-old. They pre-screened all the material. They gave him an anodyne world in which everything was hunky-dory and no one could see that he was diminished. The White House operated this way even as the president and his aides pressed forward with his re-election bid. This accounts of how the White House functioned with an aging leader at the top of its organizational chart is based on interviews with nearly 50 people, including those who participated in or had direct knowledge of the operations. And by the way, I'm here for all the tell-all books that are going to be coming out over the course of the next 3 years, demonstrating the extent of this extraordinary scandal. And it really is an extraordinary, extraordinary scandal. According to the Wall Street Journal, the system put Biden at an unusual remove from cabinet secretaries, the chairs of congressional committees, and other high-ranking officials. It also insulated him from the scrutiny of the American public. The strategies to protect Biden largely worked until June 27th, when Biden stood on an Atlanta debate stage with Trump, searching for words, unable to complete his thoughts on live television. Much of the Democratic establishment had accepted the White House line that Biden was able to take the fight to Trump, even in the face of direct evidence to the contrary. Well, that does raise the question, why would they think that? Why would they think that? You knew that he was gone. I knew that he was gone. We've been making this point since before he took office the first time. What exactly was new? The answer is nothing. As I said, after that debate, the reason the media turned on Joe Biden was not because a light bulb had gone off and suddenly they realized that Joe Biden was not mentally capable. What happened is they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed because now it was clear to everyone just how incapable the president of the United States actually was. They were embarrassed. It's always been about their profile with the American public. And they thought they could get away with it. And then Joe Biden pants them. And that embarrassed them. And they didn't like it. And they turned on Joe Biden. According to the Wall Street Journal, Biden, staffed with advisors since he became a senator at age 30, came to the White House with a small team of fiercely loyal, long-serving aides who knew him in Washington so well they could be particularly effective proxies. They did not tolerate criticism of Biden's performance or broader dissent within the Democratic Party, especially when it came to the president's decision to run for a second term. Yet a sign that the bruising presidential schedule needed to be adjusted for Biden's advanced age had arisen early on, in just the first few months of his term. Administration officials noticed the president became tired if meetings went long and would make mistakes. Okay, again, he was not up to the rigors of the job from basically day one. Ideally, meetings would start later in the day, since Biden has never been at his best first thing in the morning, some of the people said. But he wasn't a morning person? That's the excuse? He wasn't a morning person? His brain didn't work, and y'all lied about it for years until he exposed himself on national television like a predator outside a child's playground mentally. His staff made these adjustments to limit potential missteps by Biden, the people said. The president, known for long rambling sessions, at times pushed in the opposite direction, wanting or just taking more time. If the president was having an off day, meetings would be scrapped altogether. And this is what happens when people get older and their brain doesn't work as well as it used to. They have good days and they have bad days. On one such occasion in the spring of 2021, spring 2021, listen how early this is. Again, the media wanted you to believe that he only fell apart in 2024. Spring 2021, he was elected in winter 2020. He took office in January 2021. Spring 2021 would have been like April. That's 3 months into his term. He has good days and bad days, and today was a bad day, so we're going to address this tomorrow, the former aide recalled the official saying. Adam Smith of Washington found when he tried to share his concerns with the president ahead of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 that Biden was very hard to reach. He was the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, and he was alarmed by what he viewed as overly optimistic comments from Biden as the administration assembled plans for the operation. I was begging them to set expectations low, said Smith. He sought to talk with Biden directly to share his insights about the region, but couldn't get on the phone with him. After the disastrous withdrawal, Smith made a critical comment to the Washington Post about the administration lacking a clear-eyed view of the U.S.-backed Ashraf Ghani government's durability. It was among comments that triggered an angry phone call from Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who ended up getting an earful from the frustrated chairman. Shortly after Smith got an apologetic call from Biden, it was the only call Biden ever made to Smith in 4 years. Representative Jim Himes of Connecticut, top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, said his interactions with the White House in the past 2 years were primarily focused on the reauthorization of FISA. Biden's senior advisors and other top administration officials worked with Himes on the issue. He praised the collaboration, but Biden was not part of the conversation. One lawmaker who did get one-on-one time with Biden noticed the president lacked stamina and relied heavily on staff. Senator Joe Manchin, he said that the job required a level of energy he wasn't sure Biden had been able to sustain. Quote, I just thought maybe the president just lost that fight, the ability to continue to stay on, just grind it. He said Biden's staff played a much bigger role in driving his agenda than he had experienced in other administrations. And they were all on. Janet Yellen went out there and said he was totally fine. Kamala Harris went out there and said he was totally fine before stabbing him directly between the shoulder blades and throwing his body off the back of the boat. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, Iran launched a massive barrage of nearly 200 ballistic missiles at the Holy Land. This isn't just another conflict in the Middle East. Israel and her people are facing attacks from enemies on all sides who seek her destruction. But there's hope. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is on the ground, providing food, shelter, and safety to those in need during this crisis. Since the war started, thousands of reservists, everyday Israeli citizens, have left their families to serve their country. Soldiers have been injured, and their families need our support. Your gift of $100 today helps the fellowship provide food and other necessities to these families to help them survive. Here's what I need you to do right now. Go to BenForTheFellowship.org. That's BenForTheFellowship.org to make a gift today. In the face of these many threats, the fellowship's ongoing work providing security to Israelis has never been more important. Remember, that's BenForTheFellowship.org. God bless and thank you. Now is the moment to give. Never has there been, in recent memory, a more dangerous time for the state of Israel and for the people of Israel. Remember, BenForTheFellowship.org. Thank you so much. Alrighty, coming up, Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen kept vouching for how well Joe Biden was. It turns out she was lying the whole time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Attention. mentioned veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Barcoma Alliance.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Wall Street Journal has a long report about how everyone knew that Joe Biden was not mentally there. Truly amazing stuff. But Treasury Secretary Yellen, who was out there saying that he was totally fine, also, according to the Wall Street Journal, quote, had an arm's-length relationship with the president for much of the administration. She was part of the economics team that regularly briefed the president, but one-on-one discussions were rare. She typically dealt with the National Economic Council or with the president's advisors, rather than Biden directly, according to people familiar with the interactions. Some current and former administration officials said they would have expected a closer relationship between the two. Over 4 years, Biden held 9 full cabinet meetings. 9! In 4 years. By contrast, in their first terms, Obama had 19 and Trump had 25. He had 9. He had 1 in all of 2024. 1. And it is just amazing that they thought they could get away with this. Biden's team also insulated him on the campaign trail, according to the Wall Street Journal. In the summer of 2023, one prominent Democratic donor put together a small event for Biden's reelect bid. The donor was shocked when a campaign official told him the attendees should not expect to have a free-ranging Q&A session with the president. Instead, the organizer was told to send in 2 or 3 questions ahead of time that Joe Biden would answer. At some events, the Biden campaign printed pre-approved questions on note cards and gave donors the cards to read the questions. Even with all the steps, Biden made flubs. Some donors said they noticed how staff stepped in to mask other signs of decline. Throughout his presidency, Biden was assisted by a small group of aides who were laser-focused on him in a far different way than when he was VP, or how former Presidents Bill Clinton or Obama were staffed during their presidencies. These aides were often with the president as he traveled. They stayed within earshot or eye distance. They would often repeat basic instructions to him, such as where to enter or exit a station. I remember, it was cheap fakes. We showed video on this show repeatedly for years that Joe Biden was losing it. And these were cheap fakes, according to the White House. And, for a while, the legacy media. Every time you pointed out, for example, that Joe Biden had to be guided off stage, this was apparently you just being mean. Obviously, he didn't need to be guided off the stage. It was just people being nice to him. When Barack Obama, at a giant fundraiser, guided him physically off the stage, Joe Biden froze up on the stage, and Joe Biden had to physically be guided off the stage by Barack Obama, and we all pointed it out. We were told that was a cheap fake by the legacy media. The president's team of pollsters had limited access to Biden. By the 2024 campaign, pollsters were not talking to the president about their findings. Instead, they sent memos that went to top campaign staff. This summer, Democratic insiders became alarmed by the way Biden described his own polling, publicly characterizing the race as a toss-up when polls released in the weeks after the disastrous June debate consistently showed Trump ahead. They worried he wasn't getting an unvarnished look at his standing in the race. And then apparently, on July 11th, when Biden's top advisors met behind closed doors with Democratic senators, and the advisors laid out a roadmap for Biden's victory, the message was so disconnected from public polling that it left Democratic senators incredulous. It spurred Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to speak to Biden directly. Now, the thing about all of this is that we knew all of this. This is the part that makes it scandalous. We all knew it. It was all right there. They are so brazen in the media. They were so brazen in this White House. They thought they could get away with all of it. Now it can be said. Now the thing can be said. And this, by the way, is a pattern in the legacy media. The now it can be said thing. So for years, we were told transgender medicine was a life-saving protocol. And then it turns out, as Britain is banning transgender medicine, now, all of a sudden, you're getting editorials from the Washington Post saying, hey, you know, there might be some problems with this. Now it can be said. Hey, if you're in the business of now it can be said, you are a liar by nature. You fundamentally betrayed your job. And you don't get credit for coming out after Joe Biden's term is basically over and saying the thing. You don't get credit for that. America was running on autopilot with Joe Biden's aides figuring out foreign policy and domestic policy, and Joe Biden in the other room sleeping, and we're supposed to believe that you get to do the, oh, well, at least now we're bearing our souls. The media are always late and they are always wrong, okay, which is not a mistake. It means that they are wrong in the moment. They are wrong in the moment, in the time that it matters, because it doesn't matter now whether Joe Biden was senile or not. He's leaving in less than a month. That doesn't, it matters a little bit. They should 25th Amendment him today, because you really shouldn't have a day where the president is non-functional. But it doesn't matter all that much. You know when it mattered? It mattered in 2021, when the United States was losing soldiers in Afghanistan because Joe Biden was non-compos mentis. You know when it mattered? It mattered throughout the Gaza War, when a diminished Joe Biden was threatening Israel with arms cutoffs. You know what it mattered? It mattered during this entire Ukraine war, when Joe Biden was simultaneously suggesting that we were going to endlessly fund the Ukraine war, and also that there was no off-ramp that he could name. In fact, it matters an awful lot. It matters because the presidency matters an awful lot. You wonder why Donald Trump was reelected? This is a major factor. Joe Biden's mental status meant that it suddenly became palatable to Americans to look at Donald Trump as normal. That was always the left's shtick. Their shtick was, Donald Trump is not normal. You can't hand that guy power. He's not normal. But here's the thing. Donald Trump has now been the most normal person in politics for several years. Why? Because of Joe Biden. Because of the Democrats. That is why. Because of the media. I've never seen institutions on the left blow out their credibility the way they have over the past 3 years for literally nothing. For literally nothing. They got nothing in return. They got a terrible administration from a diminished elderly man. And to just add a cherry on top of that sundae, they did it on behalf of Kamala Harris, an absolute trash heap of a candidate who, with $1.5 billion and a glide path to the presidency, couldn't land the plane. That is what they got. They got nothing in return, and they should get nothing in return. Chris Chaliza of the Washington Post, he has now come out and apologized. Said, oh, we probably should have said something. Apology not accepted, Captain Nida. No, you do not get to apologize now, not even with your dumb blue glasses. You don't get to apologize. You should have done it in the moment. It is no longer relevant. It's no longer relevant. This is, if Walter Duranty shows up in 1952 and says, hey, by the way, I'm sorry I screwed up that whole coverage of the Ukrainian famine thing. It doesn't matter no more. You apologizing for not having reported the thing we all knew. And by the way, called us liars for noting. Apology not accepted.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline.
Okay, I'm sorry, but no. No, the answer is no. You don't get to lie for years on end and then be like, oh yeah, by the way, sorry. No, all your credibility is down the toilet and gone. Okay, well, the good news is that this giant presidential lie, this enormous, enormous lie, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy, but the conspiracy was right out in the open. It was a conspiracy between members of the White House and members of the Democratic Congress and members of the media to cover up Joe Biden's mental condition. Okay, that does not require any speculation. That is a fact. That is a reality. The consequences of the unraveling of that conspiracy, which you could all see right in front of our eyes, again, the single worst decision, I think, in modern American political history was Joe Biden daring Donald Trump to debate him. Truly an awful decision. And the reason that Joe Biden did it is because Joe Biden had such an ironclad bubble that he actually believed he was fine. He was the only person in the room who didn't know that he wasn't well. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, the consequence of that was, of course, Donald Trump becoming president. And I got to say, going into the new year, I am super optimistic about the Trump presidency. Last night, I had the opportunity to speak at the Turning Point Summit America Fest over in Phoenix, Arizona. And man, I have to say, Charlie Kirk, that dude knows how to put on a show. So Charlie, I've known Charlie since Charlie was 18 years old. Really, I mean, he's only 31 now, which is pretty incredible. Charlie was 18 years old when I met him. Just a brash young kid, really smart, real go-getter. He was hanging around the David Horowitz Freedom Center conference at the Breakers near here in Palm Beach. And I met Charlie, and I immediately started hooking him up with donors because I said, this dude is going to be the head of the RNC one day. He was obviously aggressive. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to work a room. He had good principles. Well, Charlie has built an amazing organization in Turning Point. And this America Fest event that he puts on, which now has 20,000 people that are going to show up over the course of the next 4 days, amazing event. I'm telling everybody from students to just general members of the public. I had the opportunity to speak there last night. and talk about what I was optimistic about for the future of the country. I also got to announce a project that we at Daily Wire Plus are doing with Turning Point. We'll announce that in just a few moments here on the show. But it was a great event, really a terrific event. And what I talked about is the fact that I'm optimistic because President Trump is going to make the economy robust again. He's going to make the economy dynamic again because Trump is a win-first guy. He only wants the winning. That's what he wants. He's a total pragmatist. He's a utilitarian pragmatist. A lot of people, including me, have observed Donald Trump is not a conservative. That's true. He's not an ideological conservative, but his gut instincts are conservative because conservatism works in the real world. And what Donald Trump cares about is what works. When it comes to the economy, what works are free markets. When it comes to the economy, what works is economic dynamism and innovation. And Donald Trump knows that because he's a business person. Already coming up, we'll talk about the second Trump term, what I'm optimistic about, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales events at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Yolanda Lupo from Capturing the Essence Soul Cave in downtown Reading, thanking our veterans and currently active servicemen and women and their families, their sacrifice and service to our great nation this holiday season. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR. To thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. All of us at North Valley Distributing wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So as I've been discussing, I'm very optimistic about a second Trump term, particularly on economics. The reason I'm talking to so many giant company founders these days, all those founders are wildly optimistic about what's going to happen in the next 4 years. Why? Because at the very least, it's do no harm. At the very least, you know this administration is not going to come in and start upending every ridiculous table they can find. They're not going to come in and start talking about how business needs to be punished for its success. They're not going to talk about how unionization, for example, is the cure for what ails America's economic situation. They're not going to talk about how regulation is going to fix everything. And that's not what this administration is about. You can look forward to a more robust economy under President Trump. On foreign policy, you can look forward to solidification of foreign policy. Joe Biden is the worst foreign policy president in my lifetime, which is an amazing thing to say, considering there's a man named Barack Obama who exists. Joe Biden has been a horror show on foreign policy. And as I've talked about, there is a Trump doctrine, and the Trump doctrine is basically FAFO. The Trump doctrine is American citizens come first, America comes first, which should be obvious, but American citizens do have interest in what happens abroad. So, for example, the freedom of the seas, the freedom of the Taiwan Strait or the Malacca Strait, so that, you know, the free flow of goods can actually allow us to receive goods, products, and services in an affordable way. The United States has an interest in the free flow of energy and oil, which is why we're interested in, say, Saudi Arabia, and also in drilling domestically. The United States has an interest in curbing the regional ambitions of Iran, which is responsible for killing a vast bevy of American soldiers abroad, as well as targeting America's allies everywhere from the Middle East to Europe to South America. We have an interest in containing China, the American public. Perhaps China most of all, because China is not only stealing our intellectual property, China is not only threatening Taiwan, which is the source of all the semiconductors that are useful in sophisticated technology. China's not only threatening all of those various shipping channels that I mentioned earlier. China's also shipping the precursors for fentanyl into Mexico, and Mexico's then shipping those over the border via the drug cartels. There are all sorts of foreign interests that Americans have. Which brings us to the second point about Donald Trump's foreign policy, which is we should calibrate our action to the level of interest the American public has in the thing. So if a bad thing is happening in some far-off land that's really bad, and if we can do something minor to help that, great. But if it requires a serious commitment, it better be a serious matter to the American public. And everybody ought to do their part. So when it comes to Ukraine, when President Trump comes in and says NATO members need to pay their fair share, he is correct about that, and he always was correct about that. And then finally, if the United States is going to actually use force, we should use force in the most effective possible way. The first sin in war is losing, and Donald Trump is not a loser. He will use the credible threat of force to actually get things done. You can already see the world beginning to reshape around Donald Trump's foreign policy. And finally, Donald Trump is going to get us back to some sense of normalcy. The Democrats have decided that they are going to ride or die on the principle that the American family is somehow bad, that the American family is somehow a repressive institution. Churches are oppressive institutions. And basically, we should all think of ourselves as freewheeling, atomistic individuals that are bundles of sexual desires. And if those sexual desires can be pleased on a momentary basis, well, then that's where true happiness comes from. That is not the vision of happiness that the American dream promises. You can see this, by the way, in the contrast between what Democrats think is weird and what Republicans think is weird. Republicans think drag queen story hour is weird. Why? Because it's frickin' weird. Democrats think J.D. Vance is weird because he has a wife and kids, grew up in bad circumstances, and made something of himself after serving in the military, and then is vice president-elect at the ripe old age of 39. They think that guy's weird. Normalcy is returning. These are all things I talked about at the Turning Point Conference yesterday. We did a really nice Q&A. We'll put that up online for you to see. It was great. Got to interact with the crowd. And I'm very optimistic. That optimism rests on efficacy. Donald Trump is coming into office with some obstacles, too. Going into the next year, this is really important. Donald Trump is not just coming in as, you know, the singular dictator who can determine exactly what he wants to do. Everything that we love about the American government is also the thing that makes it hard to get things done in the American government. When a Democrat like Joe Biden is in charge, you are very happy about the checks and balances. And when a Republican is in charge, Republicans get frustrated with the checks and balances. That's perfectly normal. It's perfectly natural. It's also why the checks and balances exist. Right now, Donald Trump is going to enter office with, effectively speaking, a one-vote majority in the House. That is an absolutely slim majority. I mean, that is the slimmest possible majority. He's also going to enter office with a three-vote majority in the Senate. Four if you're counting vote number 50 and then J.D. Vance breaking a tie. And these are not large majorities. They're particularly not large majorities because there are a bunch of people who are moderate Republicans in purple districts in the House. And in the Senate, you have a few senators who are from purplish states. And so what that means is that everything that Donald Trump wants that has to be gotten done legislatively is going to require a compromise. And that's going to require somebody to broker the compromise at the top level. In this case, John Thune in the Senate and Mike Johnson in the House. We'll get some more on this in a moment. First, make your holidays bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app is really simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's available to play in more than 40-plus states, including California and Texas. Join now, because this holiday season, Prize Picks is giving away two free picks in December, and they're giving away $30-plus million in rewards during Pickmas. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code Shapiro. Get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code Shapiro on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Again, Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's available to play in more than 40-plus states. Go check them out right now by downloading the app Prize Picks. Run your game. Alrighty, so all of the sort of misplaced ire over the past 72 hours at Mike Johnson, as though Mike Johnson was just sort of freelancing and freewheeling when he came up with the Cromnibus package. That's not true. It's not true. Now, we can argue over whether Speaker of the House Johnson made too many concessions in order to get the things that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance wanted in the original bill. I would say, sure, there's some things in there that definitely should not have been in there. And frankly, I'm glad that that version of the bill went down. It had too much pork. And as I said yesterday, I think the amount of disaster relief in the bill is excessive. I think the farm subsidies are excessive. However, blaming Johnson for that is ignoring the fact that there must be coordination, heavy coordination, between Donald Trump, who establishes what he would like to get done, Mike Johnson, who establishes what can get done in the House, and outside influencers who are pointing out the discrepancy between the two. It does have to be this interplay. Because otherwise, what you're going to end up with is a circular firing squad. And that circular firing squad dynamic is what we've seen over the course of the past several days. Now, I'm optimistic that it's going to stop. I'm optimistic that there will be action by the House of Representatives to avoid a government shutdown. Now, why does it matter whether there's a government shutdown? Now, the truth is, it's not going to be the end of the world if there's a government shutdown. We had a 35-day government shutdown back in 2018. The world did not end. It was not particularly awful. Lost productivity was like $3 billion, supposedly. All the vital checks still went out, like Social Security. So if there were to be a government shutdown, the media would play it as though the world was ending. The world would not be ending. However, politically, it would not benefit President Trump to go into his new presidency, not only with a government shutdown, but also with having to presumably then deal with the fallout in the House. Like, that's not what you need if you're President Trump. You need a machine that's ready to go day one. That is the only focus. It should be the only focus from the Trump administration. I think now that reality is setting in, that will be the only focus from the Trump administration. Get past this thing, get to the administration, and then coordinate everything between the leadership and the Congress. Do that, and you can have an effective administration. I'll give you an example of when the circular firing squad starts. So, as we discussed yesterday, originally, the Cromnibus package, the continuing resolution, could have been done with just a three-page bill that says we're going to continue to fund the government at current levels up through January 20th. or January 10th. Right? That could have been the bill. Instead, Trump, Vance, Johnson, they all wanted disaster relief provisions in the bill because of the fallout from Hurricane Helene in North Carolina, among others. And they also wanted farm subsidies in the bill because they believe that farmers have been shortchanged by the Democrats. In order to get those things, you are going to need to make concessions to Democrats because there are some Republicans who would drop off the bill based on the spending levels. In order to get those concessions, you'd have to give some concessions. And some of those concessions, I think, were frankly wrong. Other concessions, I think, were overblown. So, for example, the idea that there was a pay raise for Congress that was 74, but that's not true. There's a cost of living adjustment for Congress. Is that like a major issue in American politics? I think it's a cheap demagogic issue. Do I think it's like a huge issue? Not really. Is that going to break the bank? Not particularly. As far as the Global Engagement Center, a place that we literally sued, and that is a State Department offshoot that engages in soft censorship. My understanding is the reason that Republicans in the House, including Speaker Johnson, were willing to sort of make that concession is the assumption was as soon as Trump entered office, Secretary of State Rubio would come in and just kill the Global Engagement Center anyway. So you can fund whatever you want. He was going to kill it anyway. Okay. With all of that said, the reality is it was not a good bill. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy pointed out all the flaws in the bill. And President Trump and J.D. Vance, who had coordinated with Johnson on the bill, they decided that they didn't want the bill after all. And so they decided to pull the bill and then suggest an alternative. So yesterday played out as total chaos in the Congress of the United States. It played out as total chaos because, again, I think that reality is being sort of gradually accepted. And the reality, as I mentioned yesterday, is that politics is a coalitional game. The Republican caucus is very fractious and they have an incredibly narrow majority. And that means you're not going to get everything you want. I'll explain in just one second. First, this Christmas, as we celebrate the gift of life, you have an opportunity to share that same gift with a mom and her baby. Picture a young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, feeling overwhelmed, alone, unsure what to do. She's desperately searching for hope. That's where Preborn Ministries steps in. Kelsey found herself facing an unplanned pregnancy. Like many women in her situation, she felt scared, uncertain about what to do. Having already experienced one abortion, she promised God she didn't want to go through that again, but life has a way of testing promises. By the grace of God, Kelsey and her partner found their way to a Preborn Network clinic. From the moment they walked through the doors, they were overwhelmed by love and compassion. There, Kelsey was introduced to her unborn baby through a sonogram. Hearing that tiny heartbeat brought them both to tears. Together, they chose life. Today, Kelsey is deeply grateful for her beautiful son, whose joy lights up her life. This Christmas, for just $28, you can help save a life. Thanks to a special matching grant, your gift will be doubled by Preborn. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. You're not going to do anything more important today. Go check them out right now. Dial #250, say keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. All right, coming up, we'll talk about the ins and outs of the various proposals floating around Congress. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons. Invest in your future with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready or transfer eligible in programs like nursing, forestry, teaching, accounting, physical therapy assistant, computer information systems, and many others. Classes are free for full-time students with flexible hours and compressed 8-week options. Perfect for working adults. Ask about the many financial aid options available to help you turn your calling into a career. Spring semester begins January 13th. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Reading Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Reading Kia.
Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales events at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
TravisMania.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a lot of legislative proposals have been floated in Congress regarding avoiding this government shutdown. After the death of the Cromnibus package at the hands of President Trump and Elon Musk, the new proposal that President Trump put forward was a continuing resolution that would include funding for example, farmers as well as disaster relief, and also would increase the debt ceiling for 2 full years. President Trump put out a statement in support of this proposal. Again, Speaker Johnson's been coordinating with Trump every step of the way. That is not a secret. That's obviously public. President Trump put out a statement saying, "Success in Washington. Speaker Mike Johnson and the House have come to a very good deal for the American people. The newly agreed to American Relief Act of 2024 will keep the government open, fund our great farmers and others, and provide relief for those severely impacted by the devastating hurricanes. A very important piece, vital to the America First agenda, was added as well. The date of the very unnecessary debt ceiling will be pushed out 2 years to January 30th, 2027. Now we can make America great again very quickly, which is what the people gave us a mandate to accomplish. All Republicans, even Democrats, should do what is best for our country and vote yes for this bill tonight." So Trump, of course, was very, very excited about this new revised package. There was only one giant problem, which is that it went down to flaming defeat in the House. And the reason it went down to flaming defeat in the House is because a lot of Republicans aren't actually all that fond of abolishing the debt ceiling. Why? Because the debt ceiling has been a tool for ratcheting back government spending as long as I've been covering politics. Many Republicans were openly opposed to the idea. In fact, when this actual vote took place, 38 Republicans voted against it. Those 38 Republicans included many very strong Trump allies, including people like Representative Thomas Massie, including Representative Chip Roy. Now, Chip became the focus of the president's ire because Chip, who is a very staunch and very consistent conservative, here is Chip Roy explaining, "Listen, I'm not going to vote for a massive debt ceiling increase unless we get concomitant cuts. That's what I'm here for."
"I am absolutely sickened by a party that campaigns on fiscal responsibility and has the temerity to go forward to the American people and say, 'You think this is fiscally responsible.' It is absolutely ridiculous."
President Trump then proceeded to rip into Chip Roy, suggesting that Chip Roy was, quote, "the very unpopular congressman from Texas. He's getting in the way, as usual, of having yet another great Republican victory, all for the sake of some cheap publicity for himself. Republican obstructionists have to be done away with. The Democrats are using them, and we can't let that happen. Our country is far better off closing up for a period of time than it is agreeing to the things the Democrats want to force upon us. Biden is president. It's his obligation to properly lead. We're there to do the right thing, and we can't agree with what Biden and the Democrats are demanding. Weak and ineffective people like Chip have to be dismissed as being utterly unknowledgeable as to the ways of politics and as to making America great again. Put America first and go for the victory, even if it means shutting down the government for a period of time. We had an overwhelming victory just 4 weeks ago, and we're not going to let Democrats forget it so quickly. Chip Roy is just another ambitious guy with no talent. By the way, how is Bob Good doing?" Bob Good, of course, is primaried by somebody who's backed by Trump. "I hope some talented challengers are getting ready in the great state of Texas to go after Chip in the primary. He won't have a chance." And Roy responded saying, quote, "My position is simple. I'm not going to raise or suspend the debt ceiling, racking up more debt, without significant and real spending cuts attached to it. I've been negotiating to that end. No apologies." Chip Roy is not wrong in this particular thing. 37 other Republicans agreed with him. It turns out that politics is not just a matter of saying the thing. You actually have to go negotiate the coalitional politics of the thing. And this is where I am concerned about the future. Listen, Democrats are not going to help Trump out no matter what. We know this. Even if Democrats agreed with the bill, they're not going to vote for it. Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, He called the proposal laughable yesterday.
The Musk-Johnson proposal is not serious. It's laughable. Extreme MAGA Republicans are driving us to a government shutdown.
Okay, and they're perfectly happy to have a government shutdown at this point because they believe that it will be blamed on President Trump. And listen, Trump believes it will be blamed on Biden. No one cares about Biden. This is the problem. Biden's dead. This is the point that Wolf Blitzer on CNN was making to Republicans. How are you going to credibly blame this on Democrats? Now, again, this actually is Democrats' fault. Chuck Schumer prevented the normal appropriations process in the Senate from going forward. That's why you end up with these year-end cromnibus packages. With that said, on just a PR level, when you have a deal that's been negotiated with presumably a level of approval from Trump and Vance, and then it gets undercut and then undersold and then destroyed, and then the replacement deal gets shut down by 38 Republicans, hard to say that that is about the Democrats rather than internal caucus warfare.
Let me just point out, Congressman, as of right now, if you take a look at the roll call, 31 of your fellow Republicans in the House of Representatives are voting against this current bill right now. Right. So how can you say this is the Democrats' fault when you're in the majority?
Wolf, I love you, Wolf, but you got to stop just trying to defend the Democrats here. The fact is that we have a number of Republicans that have never voted for a continuing resolution, have never voted to lift the debt ceiling. This bill requires two-thirds of the House, not an absolute majority. It requires two-thirds. So the fact that you have Democrats who normally would vote for this, refusing to do so, not because they disagree with a clean CR, not because they disagree with disaster relief, not because they disagree with aid to our farmers. No, they're doing so because they're upset that the debt ceiling increase is being taken off the table as leverage for them in future negotiations. That's what they're upset about. And you know what, Wolf? That's why Washington is broken.
And yet, Representative Waller, he's not wrong here, but that's not the way they're going to play in the public view. Now, what actually happens if there's a government shutdown? As I say before, these tend to be very, very overblown. But according to Axios, for thousands of non-essential federal employees, a shutdown means they stop working. Now, the reality is they'll stop working for a short period of time, then the government shutdown will end, and they will go back to work. During the last government shutdown, from December 2018 to January 2019, about 420,000 federal employees were required to work without pay, while another 350,000 were furloughed from their jobs without pay. Accepted employees are those who keep working. Their responsibilities include services like emergency work involving the safety of human life or the protection of property. And then, of course, the federal employees are eligible for retroactive pay if they keep working while they're on the job. So what exactly gets impacted? Not Social Security. Not SNAP, that's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, food stamps. Not veteran benefits. Not passport issuance. Not even education and student loans. Pretty much national parks, Smithsonian Museum, all the things that the people in the media love to cover but aren't sort of the day-to-day vital necessities of what people think of when they think of the government. So on a realistic level, is it a huge deal if the government shuts down? No. On a political level, is it good for President Trump to go into his administration with a government shutdown largely caused by a fractious Republican caucus? The answer there is no. Republican Steve Womack of Arkansas, he points out that this is not going to redound to Republicans' benefit if there's a giant government shutdown right now.
Here's the problem with shutting the government down is eventually it has to be reopened. And under what conditions would it be reopened? If you are able to extract concessions from the other side, then that's one thing. But if they're dug in and they're not going to give, then before long you're going to see the real impact on everyday Americans that a government shutdown actually proposes. And the results of that, I think, would be disastrous to both the new majorities in the House and the Senate and the incoming president.
Okay, so where exactly do Republicans go from here? Well, over at Punch Bowl News, there's a lot of speculation by Jake Sherman, who does a good job over there covering the news, as to what exactly happens next. And there are a few possibilities. One is they go back to Plan A, the original deal that got shut down. Possibility two is a clean CR, right? That short bill that says we continue funding probably through January 10th. There is the possibility that they try the same thing again. They try to go back to the board with the same bill. I think that is unlikely. They could also try a new negotiated settlement, theoretically, with Democrats. Or they could just pass the bill from yesterday without the debt ceiling increase, right? That includes the farm subsidies and includes the disaster relief and doesn't include some Democratic proposals, and that doesn't have the debt ceiling increase. And see if they can get that by the Republicans. Okay, but the reality of politics is such, this is the thing that's important to remember going forward. President Trump needs to be on the same page with the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House needs to be on the same page with President Trump, which I think has been happening. Elon Musk needs to be on the same page with both. Republicans need to be on the same page. This is not rocket science here. You're going to get gridlock. I'm all for the messy game of politics ushering in a better policy. But when that mess becomes chaos, you don't even get the policy. But folks, I just want to say thank you to our entire radio audience, a vast radio audience. As you know, the show is not going to continue on radio. We've made the decision that we are going to be online, podcast, streaming only. But it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to be on talk radio. I've dreamt of being on talk radio at this level since I was a kid. Being able to live out that dream with you has been an amazing privilege and a pleasure. We'll see you online at Daily Wire Plus.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Here at the midnight hour and the deadline, the Senate is preparing to give final approval to a new plan to prevent a government shutdown. The House passed the package late Friday in an overwhelming vote. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says senators had reached agreement to vote before the midnight deadline. The bill would temporarily fund federal operations and disaster aid, but drops President-elect Trump's demands for a debt limit increase into the new year. Speaker Mike Johnson had insisted Congress would, quote, meet our obligations and not allow federal operations to shutter ahead of the Christmas holidays. He also said Trump is happy with the outcome. President Biden expected to sign it into law. Also at townhall.com, there's been a migrant tragedy in the Greece sector of the Mediterranean.
The Greek Coast Guard said the incident occurred while the speedboat was carrying out dangerous maneuvers to try and evade a patrol vessel, causing migrants to fall into the sea. 18 of the migrants were rescued. Rescue workers on 3 Coast Guard vessels and a helicopter were working near the resort area of Afantou Beach in the northeast of the island of Rhodes. It remains unclear whether other passengers are missing, authorities add. Rhodes, one of several large Greek islands located near the coast of Turkey, is on a busy illegal smuggling route in the eastern Mediterranean. I'm Charles Delodasma.
Federal officials investigating the deadly West Texas collision between a Union Pacific train and a tractor-trailer hauling a wind turbine base are trying to determine why the tractor-trailer was stopped on the tracks. 2 employees of Union Pacific were killed in the Wednesday crash at a railway crossing in Pecos. The National Transportation Safety Board says the crash derailed the train and caused the enormous wind turbine base to fly into the air and hit a building. You'll find more news analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Right now, with an important alert, home title fraud is one of the fastest growing white collar crimes in the country. Criminals can make millions on your house without you even knowing it. Michael, you were one of those criminals?
Yeah, that's right. I was responsible for about $60 million in equity theft and title fraud.
Wow.
And to be honest, it was easy to do. It's just paperwork. So by the time you find out what's happening, the equity in your home is already gone.
So how do you keep your property and equity safe? For more, here's Action News reporter Ron Stevens.
Well, Monica, an in-depth investigation found there's actually just one company that prevents this type of crime from happening, Equity Protect. Equity Protect scans, monitors, alerts, and most importantly, protects you from any attempts to tamper with or steal your home equity and ownership 24 hours a day. Other companies merely monitor. Equity Protect stops the crime from happening. Find out if you're already a victim or take a free risk assessment today at equityprotect.com. That's equityprotect.com.
Grubhub will pay $25 million to settle a dispute over alleged deceptive business practices with the Illinois Attorney General and the Federal Trade Commission.
Attorney General Kwame Raoul said that consumer complaints prompted the investigation. Raoul and FTC Chairperson Lina Khan said Grubhub misled customers about delivery costs and the benefits of a Grubhub subscription, deceived drivers about the amount of money they could make, and listed restaurants without their knowledge or consent. Grubhub has denied the allegations but says the settlement is the best way to move forward. John Scott reporting.
A federal regulator has sued J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says the banks failed to protect hundreds of thousands of consumers from rampant fraud on the popular payment network Zelle in violation of consumer financial laws. In the federal civil complaint, the agency asserts the banks rushed to get the peer-to-peer payments platform to market without
effective safeguards. Correspondent Ed Donahue reports on an increase in flu cases.
The CDC says 13 states reported high or very high levels of flu-like illness last week. That's about double compared to the week before. One of those states is Tennessee. A clinic in Nashville is reporting as many as a quarter of its patients are reporting flu-like symptoms. No flu strain seems to be dominant, but it's too early in the season to know how good a match the flu vaccine will be. Flu experts suggest everyone get vaccinated, especially now, leading up to the holidays. I'm Ed Donahue.
Drivers and airline passengers without reindeer and sleighs better make a dash for it, beginning to look like another record for holiday travel in the country. The Auto Club AAA predicts that more than 119 million people will travel at least 50 miles from home between Saturday and New Year's Day. You'll find breaking news, analysis, and more headlines at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Thanks for tuning in to the Matt Walsh Show. Last week, a man named Alexander Wright showed up at a subway station in New York City and began harassing other patrons. A subway worker witnessed Wright accosting people and tried to intervene. Wright then walked up to him and punched him in the head. Then the victim tried to run away but was grabbed and thrown to the ground. The assailant was later then arrested. It was, for Alexander Wright, the 42nd arrest. He had already been arrested 41 times before this. Many of those arrests were for acts of violence even more brutal than his attack on the subway employee. Just last year, Wright was caught on camera randomly punching an Asian woman in the head as she walked by, knocking her to the ground. Now, it's not that difficult to kill somebody with one punch to the head, especially if they're not expecting it, and especially when you're so much bigger and stronger than your victim. Fortunately, though, the victim survived. Wright was hit with hate crime and also assault charges, other charges too, and yet he was back on the street almost immediately. A month before that assault on the Asian woman, he had been charged with assault for throwing a hot coffee on two traffic cops. So to summarize, this man has been walking the streets of New York City for years, viciously assaulting and brutalizing pedestrians. The system is aware of him. They know that he's out there. They know what he will do to people. They know he'll never stop. And yet they allow him to remain on the streets. His freedom is worth the cost, they've decided. Even if the cost is the physical safety of innocent people. Now, there are, of course, many such cases. Our cities are full of Alexander Wrights. And they're not just terrorizing the poor areas anymore. As the Daily Wire reports today, lawlessness abounds across New York City neighborhoods like the West Village and Greenwich Village, which have seen the largest spike in crime this year out of the five boroughs, according to the latest New York City Police Department report published last week. Compared to the crime stats from the same time last year, Manhattan's 6th precinct saw an 80% increase in overall significant crimes, with burglaries up 119% and grand larcenies up more than 100%. Business owners and residents have spoken to media outlets airing their frustrations of the lack of law and order in a neighborhood that draws celebrity sightings, historic brownstones, and gentrified taquerias on roofs amid the fashion and art scene. Jama Alsner, who owns Village Revival Records in Greenwich Village, told CBS2 he rarely calls the police anymore because anything seems to go these days. According to the latest data, other crime statistics show car thefts are up 39%, robberies reach up to 45%, and rapes are up nearly 43%. Now, this trend holds up across the country as the violence from the inner city bleeds further and further out into the areas that were once considered safe.
Now, you might think that this would be enough to finally spur some change and maybe a little bit of a revival of law and order now that the urbanite liberals who support the policies that have caused this anarchy are finally being made to reap what they've sown. Perhaps things will change. But that seems unlikely because they're still leftists, and leftism at this point is hopelessly nihilistic, deluded, destructive, and utterly severed from reality. As long as the cities are run by this suicidal ideology, things will just not get better. Crime is a, among other things, a practical problem, and leftists, floating as they are in an alternative universe, are not capable of solving any practical problems in this universe whatsoever. Least of all, a practical problem like crime, because it has some not as practical dimensions to it, which we'll get to in a second. Anna Kasparian over at the Young Turks is learning this lesson about the left the hard way. In a fascinating career shift, Kasparian has recently tried her hand at something very new and novel for her. She's tried making logical points specifically on the issue of crime. She has in recent days ever so gingerly dipped her toe into the waters of logic and reason, but she's discovering that she can't wade into those depths without alienating herself from her leftist comrades. That's why she's been getting into a lot of trouble on the left for saying things like this. Listen to this.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't believe in the death penalty. But I would say that if you murder someone and you have spent time in a facility, in a prison that does not rehabilitate, because that's where our prisons are, it's very unlikely that you're rehabilitated. And just releasing you into the world with no rehabilitation, bad idea. Bad idea. More than 63,000 inmates convicted of violent crimes will be eligible for good behavior credits that shorten their sentences by one-third instead of one-fifth that had been in place since 2017. That includes nearly 20,000 inmates who are serving life sentences with the possibility of parole. Keep in mind, by the way, we don't even know how these good credits are determined. There's really no specificity there. More than 10,000 inmates convicted of a second serious but nonviolent offense under the state's three strikes law will be eligible for release after serving half their sentences. That's an increase from the current time served credit of one-third of their sentence. And if you think that, no, come on, Anna, they're not releasing violent criminals, even though the reports indicate they are. This is all about nonviolent individuals. No, actually, a much smaller portion of the individuals who have been released from California state prisons are nonviolent offenders.
Well, so you mean that if you release violent criminals out into society, you're going to end up with more violent crime in society. Next, you're going to tell me that if you pour water into a cup, you'll end up with water in a cup. You know, these sorts of claims may not seem terribly shocking to you and I, but on the left, such talk is verboten. Kasparian has been getting pilloried for even the most tepid suggestion that perhaps our laws against violent crime should be enforced. A reporter for Rolling Stone was among the leftists taking her to task, and Kasparian responded, referencing the Alexander Wright case, saying, "This is a man who was arrested 41 times. After this incident, he was released and went on to send a subway worker to the hospital with a broken collarbone. But according to this crime reporter, the man committing assault slash breaking bones is the real victim." Well, yeah, Anna, welcome to the left. Been there for a while. Should have noticed this by now. The responses under her tweet show you how far gone the left is on this topic, and on any other topic, of course. Reading just a few, someone says, "You can debate whether or not a 49-year-old mentally ill homeless man is a victim, but there's not a lot of evidence that sending him to Rikers, where most people are pre-trial and so legally innocent, is a solution that improves public safety." Another person says, "I think the issue is that your position shouldn't just boil down to this guy sucks punishment. That doesn't help anyone. It's not constructive and shouldn't be a conclusion made on a program that positions itself on the left." Another person says, "I don't know the details of this particular case, but what are you trying to achieve with this narrative? The public hears enough dishonest fear-mongering about crime. Left/alt-media should offer something different, such as exploring root causes of crime." And another person, more to the point, says, "You should feel a deep sense of shame, Anna." Yes, Anna should feel ashamed. Well, she probably should feel ashamed of a lot of things, but should she feel ashamed of suggesting that perhaps after 40 arrests, it might be time to put somebody in jail for longer than 15 minutes? Perhaps we could adopt a 40 strikes and you're out rule. Can we do that? 40 strikes? No, because even that would be offensive to the left. They see no evidence that the public is made safer when violent criminals are kept in prison. They see no evidence. There's no evidence to them that you are safer from a violent criminal when he's behind bars as opposed to if he was, like, right in front of you. There's no evidence that one is safer than the other. They presumably also see no evidence that patrons at the zoo are made safer when the door to the lion's cage is closed and locked as opposed to open. It's totally neutral either way. If they were at the zoo and the zookeeper said, you guys want this open or closed? You care? Whatever, it doesn't matter. What difference does it make? There's literally no difference between looking at a lion when he's in a cage and confronting him out in the open with nothing between the two of you. No difference. This is the delusion that permeates the left. So I thought I would try to help our friend Anna understand why she's getting this reaction from her own compatriots and why anybody on the left, any Democrat who, and very few of them ever do, but every once in a while, one of them will say something like this. Hey, you know, maybe this violent crime thing is a little bit of a problem. And they just get devoured by the piranhas. And let me try to help you understand why that is. Now, part of it is the delusional nature of modern leftism, as we've already discussed. This is what makes leftist political leaders totally incapable of providing actual leadership. Their ideology requires them to live and think as though they've been transported through a portal into an alternate dimension. And in this dimension, the usual rules of life and the laws of physics and everything else don't apply. Here in this alternate dimension, men can have babies, babies aren't people, and many other bizarre occurrences become commonplace. Even the laws of cause and effect no longer apply. Releasing a violent criminal from prison has nothing to do with the fact that the violent criminal was then enabled to violently victimize someone else. Even if he'd still been in prison, the same event may have occurred, they say. Now, this makes no sense in reality when you understand cause and effect, but these people are not living in reality. But there's a deeper point here also, and this is the part that I want everyone to focus on, especially Anna. You know, ironically, these people who we call social justice warriors, and I don't like that phrase, and this is why, because they actually have no concept of justice at all. It's kind of like we talk about virtue signaling, but the people that are signaling their virtue are signaling the opposite of virtue. It's like most of what we call virtue signaling is actually vice signaling. So most of what we call social justice, you know, is actually it's anti-justice. It's the opposite of justice. It's the absence of justice. After all, putting violent criminals in prison is not just a matter of keeping people safe. It's also a demand of justice. And most normal and healthy people have an innate sense of justice. Okay? They see a man randomly assaulting a woman as she walks down the street, and they want him to be punished severely for his crimes. That's not vengeance. It's not bloodlust. It is justice. Okay? They see that action as one that cries out for a response. The scales have been tipped out of balance, and they must be righted. There must be justice. Even if it were possible to keep society safe from this man without punishing him, a normal person would still want him punished. You want him to experience some measure of suffering for his crime. Yes, that is just. You actually want him to suffer. And if you care about justice, and also if you actually have love and compassion for the victim, which is another thing that doesn't exist on the left, as much as they talk about compassion and love, there's none of that. It's indifference. But if you actually have compassion for the victim, you want that other guy to suffer, because that is justice. Justice is a virtue. It's a cardinal virtue. It is, in fact, the most important virtue of all. You can't have any other virtue without justice. And it is what ensures that an individual is given what they are due. Okay, I think that would be the definition of what is justice. That's the definition. It is giving an individual what they are due. To enact justice is to give to a person what properly belongs to him. And what properly belongs to an innocent person walking down the street is protection from violent scumbags like Alexander Wright. But what properly belongs to Alexander Wright is a cage. He should be punished because that is what he is due. That is what he is owed. That is the treatment which naturally and properly belongs to him because of his own actions and because of the sort of person he has chosen to be. This is something that, again, doesn't need to be explained to the average person. The average person, you ask them what is justice, just like if you ask them what is a woman, They may be stumped by the question only because the answer is so obvious they haven't even had to think about it. But that is what justice is. And unless you are fighting for that, then you're not fighting for justice. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us. What shall we do
about them? This New Year's Eve, step into the magic and ring in the new year at Redding Garden of Light. Celebrate 2025 with your loved ones surrounded by 2 million lights, live music from the band Hook, and a special New York-style countdown at 9 p.m., perfect for families with early bedtimes. Enjoy delicious treats, warm drinks, and the spirit of giving as all proceeds support Turtle Bay's animals, exhibits, and educational programs. Don't miss out. Reserve your tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. Happy holidays. During this time, it's important to salute our military personnel, domestically and abroad, who work to keep our country safe. It's during the holidays that warm, happy feeling of being together with family that we sometimes take for granted how much we have to be thankful for. So we want to make sure that we let the families and those who serve know that we appreciate their service above self during the holidays.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
West Virginia. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. I've had this clip sitting here for a couple days that I've wanted to play. Richard, a.k.a. Rachel Levine of Health and Human Services, is now urging pediatricians to be trans activists. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
So I encourage all of you to think of yourselves as ambassadors to your communities. Ambassadors for science. Ambassadors for compassion. And ambassadors for care. These conversations don't have to be limited or restricted to a medical setting. Offer yourselves as informational resources, not just for youth, but for school teachers, principals, school boards, professional organizations, recreation centers, county commissioners, and others who would benefit from this information and your perspective. Please proactively seek opportunities to speak about what you know. Our task is to educate the public in as many forms as possible. We need to have these conversations that question the assumptions that are underlying today's attacks on trans people. Pushing back the veil of ignorance demands this extra effort, and this is the challenge before our profession. For almost 40 years now, I have considered it an honor to be a doctor. I believe in our role as healers. I believe in our role as truth tellers. And the truth that we need to confront now is that medicine and science are being politically perverted around this country. This destroys human lives. And we have reached a tipping point for the role in medicine and civic life for the health and well-being of LGBTQI plus youth.
Rachel, quote unquote, Rachel is concerned that medicine and science is being perverted. It is exactly right. It is being, both of those things are being horrifically perverted, to a catastrophic extent by him and by people like him. As we continue to be such an utter joke on the world stage. I mean, we heard so much about this during Trump's administration. The left is very concerned, the media is very concerned about how the rest of the world views us, and we're losing respect on the world stage. And there wasn't a lot of evidence that was actually happening during the Trump administration, but you know, if you're concerned about the world stage and how they view us, what do you think they think when they see Rachel Levine, Admiral Rachel Levine, as one of the most high profile people in the administration? This man cosplaying as a woman. And now we're giving up, arms traffickers for WNBA players and all the rest of it. You know, we talked about yesterday about this epidemic of people essentially dropping out of society. And they're not dropping all the way out because they're still living off of the fruits of modern society and enjoying all those. And they're sitting in their homes and they have their phones and they're watching Netflix and all that. And they're playing video games and they're eating fast food. So they're very much still in modern society, but they're not participating in it. They're not contributing to it. We talked about what's lurking behind that. What's the reason for that? And there are a lot of reasons that we went over, but, on top of everything we talked about yesterday, the other thing, too, is that people are losing faith in our institutions. They don't trust any of the institutions anymore. And in no institution is that more clear than with the medical institution, because of people like Rachel Levine, who are working every day to turn pediatricians into trans activists. That's why people are losing faith. A defendant in Florida, I don't know, maybe you got to respect this. A defendant in Florida tried to make a move on the judge during his bond hearing. And bold move. Let's see if it paid off.
Demetrius Lewis on page 26.
Just the one you asked. How you doing?
All right, I'm good, sir. How are you?
Judge, you are so gorgeous, the judge. I just have to tell you, you're gorgeous.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. All right, Mr. Lewis. Flattery will get you everywhere, but maybe not here.
I mean, you gotta respect it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I saw that, and in some ways, it reminded me of a video. This is from a few years ago. But unfortunately, there are many people who have never had the pleasure of seeing this. And that came to my attention recently. It's been one of my favorite videos for a long time. Many people have never seen this. That guy, he's sitting on the judge during the bond hearing. He's making an attempt. There was a guy a few years ago. This is during the sentencing hearing, and I think he was arrested. He was charged, convicted of false imprisonment and a number of other felonies. And he tries actually serenading the judge during the sentencing hearing. And if you've never seen or heard this before, well, you're in for a treat. Let's watch.
That's why I wrote a song. Hello there, you're on her. I want to say how.
This is based on Adele. This is when the Hello the Adele song.
For the things I've done, and I try and be stronger. In this life I chose, but I want you to know.
Notice how no one's laughing in the background.
That door I closed, in your honor I'm sorry.
How is nobody laughing?
Sorry. To my mother I'm sorry.
Everyone's just like, does this happen all the time? Is this a common occurrence?
To the victim I'm sorry.
False imprisonment, kidnap somebody.
Please sing it. I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry, 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 sorry.
Everyone, just business as usual.
Thank you, Your Honor.
There you go. Now, that guy got 17 years in prison. So the song, I don't know. I guess the judge was not an Adele fan. Should have chosen maybe a different pop song to go with. We talked yesterday about people are indoctrinated by Disney movies, and we've seen way too many Disney movies growing up, brainwashed by them, so we think we can anthropomorphize animals. A similar thing here, maybe this guy has seen too many musicals, and so he watches the musicals, and he sees how someone can get themselves out of a bind by just singing a song, expressing their feelings, and that's enough. And he tried it here, and fortunately it doesn't work in real life. We're taking a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Winter anxiety or stress got you down? Got a cough that just won't stop? On your second round of antibiotics? Or lost your taste and smell? Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. We feature our salt cave that feels like the beach, our 10-minute knockout sessions, and our infrared saunas where you can burn 300 to 600 calories. You can breathe easier, clear sinuses, reduce pain, inflammation, and boost your immune system. It's perfect for kids, pregnant moms, and the whole family. And yes, we accept pets. Call us today at 530-338-2094. So if you're looking for the perfect gift, give a gift certificate to Capturing the Essence Salt Cave or visit the gift shop at 1506 Market Street to find health-wise gifts like the Genesis Stone, our salt packs, or the Essence of Renewal that helps to eliminate nerve pain. We're here to help. Call us at 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. And give the gift of relaxation and wellness.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Let the good times roll New Orleans style at the 2024 New Year's Eve Bash in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Live music from Cover Me Bad that will leave you dancing in the street. Enjoy a delicious buffet like it's Fat Tuesday with cool swag and drink specials. Tickets start at just $65 plus fees. VIP only $300 for a couple. And includes a one-night stay in our luxurious hotel. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Reading Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Reading Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales event at Reading Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Exam required to qualify. Exam required to qualify.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. All right, let's go. We'll check out this from the Washington Post. They report that the number of white people fell in this country for the first time since 1790. Quoting the report, it says, the report marks the first time the absolute number of people who identify as white alone has shrunk since a census started being taken in 1790. The number of people identifying as non-Hispanic white and no other race dropped by 5.1 million people to 191.7 million, a decrease of 2.6%. The country also passed two major milestones on its way to becoming a majority-minority society in the coming decades. For the first time, the portion of white people dipped below 60%, slipping from 63.7% to 57.8% in the span of just 10 years. And the under-18 population is now majority people of color at 52.7%. That's the report. And there have been a lot of reactions to this report, like this from Jennifer Rubin, who responds, a more diverse, more inclusive society. This is fabulous news. Now we need to prevent minority white rule. Okay. Now, we are told that if you speculate that the powers that be in this culture want to replace white people, we're told that this is the great replacement theory, and it is a white supremacist conspiracy theory, and it's pretty much the worst thing you can ever say. If you are to say this, speculate about this, then you are a white supremacist. That's what we're told. You can't talk about replacement. And yet, I'm just trying to work through this in my head here. Help me out. So we're bringing in a flood of immigrants over the southern border, non-white. We're putting policies in place with the express purpose of having fewer white people in universities and in positions of power. And we're celebrating the reduction in the white population. I mean, it sounds like you want to replace white people. So this is replacement, is it not? And you're happy about it? I mean, Jennifer Rubin is celebrating that there's fewer. You could never do this with any other race of people. Can you imagine if there was a report about, you know, there are fewer black people in the country today than there were 10 years ago? Can you imagine anyone reacting to that and saying, this is fabulous news? Anyone who did that would be seen as a genocidal maniac. And if you were to accuse that person of wanting to replace black people, everyone would say, well, yeah, that's exactly what he wants to do, clearly. Yet with white people, you can advocate for replacing them explicitly. But if anyone correctly identifies what you're doing, then they're the racist. It's completely absurd. Now, in fact, I would even give people on the left, because what I'm saying right now, this is probably going to get clipped by Media Matters. That's my prediction right now. And I hope it is, because I want to get this out in front of people on the left. And you say that the replacement theory is white supremacists, white nationalists, is a horrible, horrible thing. Okay. So do you not want to replace white people? Are you saying that you don't want that? You don't want to replace white people in the population with a greater portion of non-white people? You don't want to replace white people in universities and positions of power? You're saying you don't want that. Because while you
condemn replacement theory as a white supremacist, conspiracy theory, I noticed that you don't deny it. I mean, you don't come out and say, oh, no, we don't want to do that. But if you don't, then say so. And then we're going to have some follow-up questions about, like, okay, well, then what's going on down here on the border? And why do we have these affirmative action policies in place? And why are you popping champagne and throwing confetti when there are reports saying that there are fewer white people? A bra broke out at a Bath & Body Works store in Arizona. We have the video of this, and we have to play it. I mean, anytime there's a fight at a retail store, you got to play. This is important stuff. Let's play the video here. This is at the Bath & Body Works in Arizona. Okay, it's between an employee and a customer, both female. All the people involved are female. There's now about five women at Bath & Body Works that have jumped onto the dog pile. Looks like it's like three employees versus one customer. Oh, then another customer jumps in. We have not seen a real punch thrown. Okay, now. So the reason for this, I think, I was trying to figure out why this happened, and there are kind of like conflicting reports about what started all this. Originally, a report that I saw online, I think from the person who took the video, I believe, they said that it had something to do with distancing or masking or something. It was like a dispute about that. But then the cop said, no, it had nothing to do with masking. It had nothing. It was not a racial thing. There's no racial element. What they said is that somebody had cut in line. So the woman, the customer there originally in the dog pile, she had cut in line. Someone else didn't like that, and that's how the fight started. Now, I will tell you, I don't condone violence. I don't. Especially not at a Bath & Body Works. We all know Bath & Body Works, that's not the place for that. I mean, Walmart is the place for that. But I don't condone the violence, but I will say that cutting in line is one. I don't know if she actually did it. This is an allegation. I don't know if it's true. I don't want to engage in defamation here, but cutting in line, if she did do that, is one of the worst sins a person can commit. It is almost as bad as ditching the shopping cart in the parking lot. And a lot of times it's the same person. Cut in line to the grocery store, ditch the shopping cart. In this case, a little bit of street justice dished out. I can't say I'm going to complain about it. That's all. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number, and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. We're going to have to jump right in. One of the most richly deserving cancellations we've ever done on this show. This is not a regular cancellation, but another of our patented reverse cancellations where the cancelers who are attempting to cancel someone else, instead that they find that they themselves are canceled by me. Though they may not notice because as of yet, my daily cancellations carry no enforcement mechanism, which is the fatal flaw. That's something that will surely change once I'm finally installed as theocratic fascist dictator of the country. But for now, it begins with the highly lauded four-star high school quarterback Marcus Stokes, who had recently been extended a scholarship offer from the University of Florida. Stokes was set to head down to Florida this summer to begin his college football career, but then things went sideways. According to the media reports, video surfaced of Stokes using a racial slur. That's the way it's being phrased in a lot of the headlines. He's using or saying a racial slur. It took about 48 hours to the University of Florida to respond the way that spineless, soulless bureaucracies always respond to these kinds of situations. And they threw the kid under the bus and withdrew the scholarship offer almost immediately. And it's likely that this will have a cascading effect and all the other schools that had shown interest in Stokes will also back away. His life could be profoundly altered because of this moment and not for the better. But what about that terrible video with the terrible, awful racial slur? Well, it turns out that Stokes was not caught on tape screaming the N-word at a black person or engaging in any other sort of racist rant. That's not what happened. He was, in fact, simply singing along to a rap song. That's all. Stokes tried to explain this in a statement that he issued after the decision in Florida was made public. He posted, quote, "I was in my car listening to rap music, rapping along to the words, and posted a video of it on social media. I deeply apologize for the words in the song that I chose to say. It was hurtful and offensive to many people, and I regret that. I fully accept the consequences of my actions, and I respect the University of Florida's decision to withdraw my scholarship offer to play football. My intention was never to hurt anybody, and I recognize that even when going along with a song, my words still carry a lot of weight. I will strive to be better and to become the best version of myself, both on and off the field. I know that learning from my mistakes is a first important step." Now, you know what I say about apologizing to the cancel mob? Never do it. Especially when you've done nothing wrong. But I'm not going to blame Stokes here. He's just a high school kid suddenly at the center of a totally fake and engineered public outrage. In fact, speaking of being fake and engineered, it's not a coincidence that Florida had, in the last few weeks, managed to pull another high-value recruit who had previously committed to the University of Miami. So they had flipped that recruit, and the recruit had committed to them. So it seems likely to me that Florida created this controversy themselves so they'd have an excuse to dump Stokes and get rid of the scholarship they offered him in favor of the other recruit who they like more. And if that means that destroying his college career in the process is the way to go, then what do they care? One thing that's always been clear about NCAA football programs is that the people running them don't give a damn about the kids playing for them. That's for sure. The point is that, again, the controversy and outrage was, as always, 100% fake and contrived.
Stokes apologized to those he had hurt and offended, but that is a group that consists of precisely zero people. Not one person on earth was hurt because a high school kid sang along to a rap song. And if such a fragile, emotionally unstable person does exist somewhere on this godforsaken planet, their feelings don't matter. In fact, it is a positive good that such a person should have their feelings hurt. If they had their feelings hurt, I'm glad they did. Anyone actually offended by a video of a kid named Marcus Stokes singing a rap song deserves to experience whatever emotional trauma they're currently going through. I'm glad it hurts. I hope it hurts more. That's what I wish Stokes had said. But I certainly don't blame him for not saying that. The kid was just he just wants to play football. He didn't sign up to take on the faux outrage mob. At least he didn't think that he signed up for that. Now, to state the obvious here, Marcus Stokes is not the first college football recruit to ever say the N-word. Okay? So breaking news. Not the first college football recruit to say the N-word. In fact, it is certain that Florida's locker room is currently full of players who say the N-word all the time. They say it in the locker room. They say it on the field. They say it on the sidelines. They say it on camera. They say it in social media videos. Yet Marcus Stokes said it once while singing along to a song, and he was cast out as a racist because of it. How can this contradiction be justified? Well, it can't be justified, of course. The only difference between Stokes and all the hundreds of thousands of college football players who, hundreds or thousands of college football players who use the word freely dozens of times a day is that Stokes has lighter skin pigmentation, right? It's the skin pigment. That's the only difference. The rule, as it has been established, is that if your skin is a darker shade of brown, you can say the word whenever you want, to whoever you want, in whatever context you want. If your skin is a lighter shade of brown, you cannot say it in any context whatsoever, no matter the circumstances, because when it passes from your pale lips, the word itself suddenly magically changes in meaning and becomes an unutterable curse, an unspeakable slur, the worst sort of vulgarity ever known to man. That's the rule. Though the rule makes no sense on any logical or moral level whatsoever. Which is why none of the defenders of this rule have ever been able to actually defend it. So let me show you what I mean. In the wake of the Marcus Stokes pseudo-scandal, there was another video that's getting passed around on social media. This is a video from a few years ago where the author Ta-Nehisi Coates tries to explain, why only black people can say the N-word. And I'm told by the advocates of this rule that this is a thorough, thoughtful explanation and defense of the rule. And indeed, it is probably as thorough and thoughtful an explanation and defense as anyone could possibly offer. But that should tell you something once you hear how weak and self-contradictory it actually is. Listen.
Words don't have meaning without context, okay? My wife refers to me as honey. That's accepted and okay between us. If we were walking down the street together and a strange woman referred to me as honey, that wouldn't be acceptable. The understanding is I have some sort of relationship with my wife. Hopefully I have no relationship with this strange woman. When I was young and I used to go see my family in Philadelphia where my dad was from, they would all call him Billy. His name is William Paul Coates. No one in Baltimore called him Billy. And had I referred to my father as Billy, that probably would have been a problem. That's because the relationship between myself and my dad is not the same as the relationship between my dad and his mother and his sisters who he grew up with, right? We understand that. It's the same thing with words within the African-American community or within any community. My wife, with her girlfriend, will use the word, I do not join in. I don't, you know, say, hey, I don't do that. I don't do that. And perhaps more importantly, I don't have a desire to do it. You understand? You know, a while ago, Dan Savage was going to have this show that he was going to call, hey, I'm not going to yell at Dan Savage. I'm just not, that's not my relationship with the LGBT community. And I understand that. And I'm okay with that. I don't have a desire to, yell out the word. You know, I just don't have that. The question one must ask, if that's accepted and normal for groups of people, we understand that, you know, it's normal, actually, for groups to use words that are derogatory in an ironic fashion. Why is there so much hand-wringing when black people do it? Black people are basically, however you feel about it, they're not outside of the normal rules and laws for humanity. I had a good friend who used to have this cabin in upstate New York, which he referred to as the white trash cabin. He was white. I would never refer to that cabin. I would never tell him, I'm coming to your white trash cabin. I just wouldn't do that. I think you understand why I wouldn't do it. The question one must ask is why so many white people have difficulty extending things that are basic laws, of how human beings interact to black people.
Okay, where do you even begin here? I guess we just begin at the beginning. He says that context matters. I agree with that. Indeed, when judging someone's words, context is all that matters. You cannot begin to understand what someone is saying or why or whether their words are objectionable or not until you take into account the context. I agree with that. The problem is that Coates does not agree with it. He gives the example of his wife using the pet name Honey for him. He says that his wife can call him Honey, but if anyone else called him Honey, it might be an issue. But he's already abandoned the statement that he made at the start. Context matters. Sure, if some other young woman called him Honey in a flirtatious way, that would be unacceptable. But what if it was some sweet old woman at the grocery store called him Honey? We could probably assume that his wife wouldn't respond by smacking her across the face. Honey is a perfect example of a word that changes dramatically depending on who is saying it and why they're saying it. That's the context. Why are you saying it? And what if his wife wrote him a love letter, a poem, and in the poem called him Honey? Then she published the poem in a book and put it on sale at Barnes & Noble. And then what if someone else bought the book and read the poem out loud that she published? Would it be inappropriate for them to read the word honey? Should they call it the H word? It's so important to his wife that nobody else ever say the word honey in relation to him. If that's so important, why would she publish it in a book in a forum that is made to be read out loud? You see the difference here? In fact, yes, his wife calls him honey in a particular context. If anyone else called him honey in that same context, it'd be a problem. And yet, the whole rest of the world can run around saying the word honey for any number of other reasons. They could even say it to him. And as long as it is not specifically being used to flirt with him, his wife's not going to have an issue with it. So Coates inadvertently disproves his own point, especially when he mentions the F slur for gay people. Okay? He says that he would never use that word in relation to gays. He would never use the word in relation to gays. Fine. Except that you notice, he says the word while talking about it. True, he wouldn't call a gay person that word, fine. But he will at least say the word, the actual whole word out loud, while talking about the word. In fact, he uses all of the words. He says them all out loud while claiming that he would never use them. That's because every other word in the English language, every single one, without exception, except for the one exception, can be used by everyone of all races and ethnicities in certain contexts. You take any word that can be considered a slur towards certain groups, and members of outside that group can use it, at least when talking about the word, or when reading something that has a word, or when quoting someone. The N-word is the only word in existence, the only one, that cannot be said in any context at all, even as a quote, even as lyrics in a song, if your skin pigment is too light. So Coates says that context matters, but his actual view is that when it comes to the N-word, context doesn't matter. That's the argument he's actually making, is that there is no context at all when a white person can so much as utter the syllables. So he says that he wants black people to enjoy the same right to their own words that all other groups enjoy. That's not true. He wants black people to enjoy a privilege that no other group on the planet has ever had. That is, the privilege to say certain words in whatever context they want, while not allowing people in other groups to say it in any context. There is no other example of a word like that. I dare you to prove me wrong. Find one other word that you could have your life destroyed for saying in any context, even if you're just reading something, if you're quoting someone, if you're singing a song. Now, clearly, he can't actually justify or defend any of this. Nobody can.
I mean, the idea that just like the syllables themselves, if you put them together audibly and you don't have dark enough skin, it's automatically offensive no matter what. That just doesn't make any sense. It's like superstitious. You're turning a word into a magical incantation, like some sort of curse that you found in an old dusty book in the attic. It doesn't make any sense. It is morally and logically incoherent. Cannot be defended. Which is why he doesn't defend it. That's the theme on this show. The people on the left, they cannot defend anything they think. And that's why he is canceled, along with the University of Florida, and everyone else who thinks that a young man should be punished for singing the lyrics to a mass-produced and distributed pop song. They're all canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. In a vote of 85-11, the Senate has given final approval to a new plan to prevent a government shutdown. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said senators had reached agreement to the vote before the midnight deadline.
Democrats and Republicans have just reached an agreement that will allow us to pass the CR tonight.
The bill was approved within the hour after the deadline of midnight Eastern Time had passed. The bill would temporarily fund federal operations and disaster aid, but drops President-elect Donald Trump's demands for a debt limit increase into the new year. Speaker Mike Johnson had insisted Congress would, quote, meet our obligations and not allow federal operations to shutter ahead of the Christmas holiday season. He also said President-elect Trump is happy with the outcome. President Biden is expected to sign it into law. Also at townhall.com, a festive public holiday gathering in Germany turns deadly.
A car plowed into a busy outdoor Christmas market in the eastern German city of Magdeburg on Friday, killing at least two people and injuring at least 60 others in what authorities called a deliberate attack. The driver, a 50-year-old Saudi doctor who came to Germany in 2006, was arrested at the scene shortly after the car barreled into the market at about 7 p.m. when it was teeming with holiday shoppers looking forward to the weekend. Keith Peters reporting.
Stocks rose to turn out what would have been one of the market's worst weeks of the year into just a pretty bad one. The S&P 500 rallied 1.1% yesterday to shave its loss for the week down to 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped nearly 500 points, and the NASDAQ Composite gained 1%. A report said a measure of inflation the Federal Reserve likes to use was slightly lower last month than expected. More news analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Right now with an important alert. Home title fraud is one of the fastest growing white collar crimes in the country. Criminals can make millions on your house without you even knowing it. Michael, you were one of those criminals?
Yeah, that's right. I was responsible for about $16 million in equity theft and title fraud.
Wow.
And to be honest, it was easy to do. It's just paperwork. So by the time you find out what's happening, the equity in your home is already gone.
So how do you keep your property and equity safe? For more, here's Action News reporter Ron Stevens.
Well, Monica, an in-depth investigation found there's actually just one company that prevents this type of crime from happening, Equity Protect. Equity Protect scans, monitors, alerts, and most importantly, protects you from any attempts to tamper with or steal your home equity and ownership 24 hours a day. Other companies merely monitor. Equity Protect stops the crime from happening. Find out if you're already a victim or take a free risk assessment today at equityprotect.com. That's equityprotect.com.
Tesla is recalling almost 700,000 vehicles because of an issue with the warning light on the tire pressure monitoring system. Correspondent Rita Foley reports.
Here's the problem. The tire pressure monitoring system warning light may not stay lit up between drive cycles, failing to warn the driver of low tire pressure. If your tires aren't properly inflated, you could be at a higher risk of a crash. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the recall includes some Model 3s from 2017 through 2025, some Model Ys from 2020 through 2025, and some Cybertrucks from 2024. Tesla says it's got a free software update to fix the problem. I'm Rita Foley.
Volkswagen's employee representatives say they have reached a wage deal. The deal will ward off management proposals for plant closings in Germany and bars if voluntary layoffs through 2030. New filings in a 2022 class action contend that children of the wealthy and connected get special admissions consideration at some elite U.S. universities. John Scott has more.
Although it's always been assumed that such favoritism exists, the filings offer a rare peek at the often secret deliberations of university heads and admissions officials. They show how schools admit otherwise unqualified wealthy children because their parents have connections and could possibly donate large sums down the line, raising questions about fairness. 10 of the 17 schools that were sued have agreed to settlements. John Scott report.
Drivers and airline passengers without reindeer and sleighs better make a dash for it. It's beginning to look like another record for holiday travel in this country. The Auto Club AAA predicting that more than 119 million people will travel at least 50 miles from home between Saturday and New Year's Day. More news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales event at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Semite, raised and mentored by his notorious anti-Semite college professor uncle, Professor Leonard Jeffries, famous Jew hater from way back, but never mind that. And they all voted to shut it down. And the media, like, why do the Republicans want to shut the government down? And every Democrat in the House, save two, voted to shut it down. Kind of an amazing thing. We are, it is rumored, let's just say, being reported, which is the same as rumored, being reported that there will be a vote on Capitol Hill today while we're on the air. We're going to be on the radio, and we will share it with you as it happens to see whether the, and it's kind of a complicated situation, raising the debt ceiling, blowing out the debt ceiling, not the best thing in the world. But is it President Trump negotiating, right? The art of the deal. Is it President Trump elbowing his way through the crowd and putting Schumer in his place and the Democrats? And are the Republicans once again falling into the Democrat Party trap? And the Democrats are good at not very many things, but setting traps and ruining Christmas, which they despise because it's Christianity. And they'll take you to the Supreme Court to try to prevent you from taking a knee and saying a prayer after a high school football game, if you're a high school football coach, because the Democrats are not exactly the party of, you know, going to church and being good Christian people. That's not who they are. Dog is their co-pilot. Keep that in mind. They've got Dog right there as their co-pilot. And so we've got this going on, and it's pretty wacky. The headlines everywhere. House GOP new funding bill to avoid shutdown fails in fast-track vote. But wasn't it the Democrats that made it fail? And that's okay. That's not in the CBS News headline, is it? The Washington Post, not a legitimate newspaper. It looks like a newspaper, but it's not. How every House member voted on the failed attempt to avoid a shutdown. I actually do love a shutdown. I live in Washington, D.C., so for me it means less traffic and easy to get into, in and out of stores and restaurants, and it's really much better. But that's, you know, it's Christmas time, and, you know, I can hear the sleigh bells now. Ching, 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 ching. But the Democrats, it's kind of amazing. The Independent has, not out of the United States, has the headline, Democrats tank laughable Trump-backed spending bill with the help of Republican conservatives. And it's true, conservative caucus, they used to call them the Tea Party caucus. They say, well, I don't want to just blow up the debt ceiling. Come on. But I got to tell you, it's President, from where I sit, it looks like President Trump navigating, President Trump negotiating, President Trump, the art of the deal. Give him this. Let's get past Christmas and the new year. And please, the Democrats all voted against it, except for two. And they're not the bad guys in this. So Republicans need to, you know, again, the lockstep Democrat Party, like the Socialist Workers Party of yesteryear, the Democrat Party always goose steps into oblivion together. And if it hurts the country, they're all the more happy about that. They're much more happy about that, right? And then there's the news media, which the Democrats can always rely on to lie to us, the American people, the voters, the consumers of their filthy, corrupt, rotten news stuff. So we've got that as the big dog out there today. And again, I think it may actually be resolved. Resolved might be the wrong word, but I think it might be resolved while we're on the air. The vote, according to reports, or I could say rumors, because reports and rumors are pretty much the same thing, maybe a 10 a.m.-ish vote Eastern time to see if they can get this thing passed. And otherwise, oh, no, the government may shut down at midnight tonight at 11:59:59, the last second of government funding. And then at midnight, the government shuts down, which it does every Friday night, by the way. Usually it shuts down earlier. It shuts down at close of business on Friday, and then it reopens on Monday morning. But that's not important now because this is politics, and politics is not based on truth or reality or what's actually going on. It's based on a number of other factors having nothing to do with truth or reality. But there you have it. It's shutdown day is the headline at Punchbowl. Johnson, the Speaker of the House, has a few options, and he does have a few options. Trump calls for Texas Congressman Chip Roy to be primaried amid government shutdown talks. Republican conservative Texas Congressman Chip Roy is very much opposed to passing this bill, and he doesn't want to blow out the debt ceiling, the debt limit. President Trump is calling for the debt ceiling, the debt limit, to just be done away with. No more. First of all, it's a big phony lie. President Trump is undoubtedly aware of that and is taking that into account because that does matter. Oh, we always pretend, oh, we got some kind of a debt ceiling, $35 trillion. And then what are you going to set it at, $35.2 trillion? It's another $200 billion. It's completely ridiculous. It's a big farce. It's fake. You have to get regular order reestablished. You need regular order in Congress where we pass a funding bill and 12 spending bills, and we get the bills come out of committees. Remember that we used to have committees on Capitol Hill, and they'd have votes, and they'd propose spending, and then the full House would vote on them. We used to have a functional Congress. It's been quite some time now. We don't have a functional Congress right now. Chip Roy is one of the guys, and I understand he's stamping his foot, he's pounding the table, he says, I'm not going to vote to blow out the debt ceiling and pretend it doesn't exist. Well, the truth is, it really doesn't exist. And even setting that aside, which is appropriate at this moment in time, I think, setting that aside, give President Trump the time, the breathing room, to become President of the United States, even though he's acting president right now. You see, Joe Biden is going to Rome. He's going to go meet with the Pope. He's going to go meet with the Pope, who should certainly not forgive him for anything. Joe Biden, the world's premier Catholic, I think it would be fair to say. And he's going to meet with the Pope while he's still president, because he probably won't meet with him after he's president, and he might, you know, have to pay for it himself. This way he can fly over on Air Force One and bring an entourage of airplanes, a sky full of airplanes with bulletproof cars, bombproof cars, EMP-proof cars, and all that good stuff, and helicopters, and the Marine Corps. He's going to go to Italy. President Trump needs to be given by Republicans in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, when we get to that, the breathing room to assume office, take over Republican Party, take over control of the Senate and the House, and President Trump move into the White House, and then we can get down to business on the debt ceiling and other matters. But right now, let's not blow ourselves up, shall we? Because yada yada. And I'll get into that during the course of our humble radio broadcast today. So President Trump and Chip Roy, and President Trump saying, let's get a primary opponent for Chip Roy, and let's kick him out of the Congress. And that's President Trump's way of communicating and of negotiating and of navigating to where he wants to be. And I've got to say, never underestimate President Trump. He's doubtless five steps ahead of a lot of other people in this process. And yesterday I was kind of agog when I saw President Trump say, let's just do away with the debt limit. And who jumped on Twitter to agree with him, on X to agree with him, but Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren. I agree with a President Trump getting rid of the debt limit, and I don't know what that was, but that's how she talks. That's how she talks. She's not a Native American, is she? And when you've got Elizabeth Warren agreeing with President Trump on getting rid of the debt limit, you know that there's something else going on. There's another dimension there. Elizabeth Warren wants to destroy the country. She's a leftist, and she's not on our side. She wants to bankrupt the country. She wants to turn the keys over to the communist Chinese and to the Islamists, because she's not on our side. But President Trump, I know, is on our side. So what kind of a game is he playing? Well, he's playing a game that is several steps ahead of of the rest of us are certainly a lot of other people. He's several steps ahead. And I honestly, genuinely believe that. And if he is saying, let's just, what he's doing is he's shelving it. He's kicking it to the curb for now. But he wants to position himself to be able to roll over Chuck Schumer instead of Chuck Schumer rolling over him while Schumer still has control of the Senate. He will do as much damage and destroy as much of civilization as he can, because that's Chuck Schumer's role in the world, to destroy, to cause havoc, to damage the United States, to contribute to our bankruptcy. I know that that's not President Trump's agenda, and so, and I know that the art of the deal and trust but verify. Going forward, President Trump needs the breathing room, and he needs to be able to elbow his way through this ridiculous place called Washington, D.C., and Chip Roy and the other 37 members, Republican members of the House that voted against this deal last night, scuttling the deal, should get on board with President Trump. And I'm not just blindly following everything he wants, because that's not what this is. This is checkers at this point. It's not even chess. Just pass this with as little junk in it as possible and get to the next step. And in the meantime, the Republicans ought to be out there condemning the Democrats, since every filthy, stinking, corrupt one of them, save two, voted against the bill last night. So they voted to shut down the government. Every Democrat, save two, voted to shut down the government last night. And that should be what the Speaker and Trump and the rest, and J.D. Vance has been active in the last couple of days as well, and he's right on it. And at the same time, Hakeem Jeffries lets Speaker of the House Mike Johnson dig his own spending bill grave, the extreme left radical New Republic publication. But that's the perception, because the filthy, corrupt press is always out to stab you in the front when you're a Democrat and to perform acts of journalistic gratification upon any Democrat that climbs through their window at night. So that is, that's kind of where we are. But it may take care of itself even while we're on the air. In the meantime, President Trump is right, and Chip Roy, God bless him, he's wrong on this one. He is. And RFK Stadium site provision removed from federal spending bill, a blow to Commanders and NFL. Don't be an idiot. That's the Associated Press. That has no place in this idiotic bill that's supposed to be a stopgap measure. Pay no attention. We've got a CNN story for you. It's about CNN. It's not something they've reported. And the Wall Street Journal, how the White House functioned with a diminished Biden in charge. It's kind of funny. He was their sock puppet. It was Weekend at Bernie's for 4 years, and they're just admitting it now. I've been telling you this for 4 years, but now the media is going, hey, wait a minute. All these people are telling us that Joe Biden has been utterly diminished for 4 years. No kidding. You guys don't follow the news, do you? Pretty amazing. Joe Biden angry with billionaires buying newspapers. Almost all of them are faithful Democrat bootlicks, but never mind that. We've got Christmas and Hanukkah. We've got Tennessee College. I got an update for you on the racial slurs at a Tennessee college. You'll never guess. You'll never guess what the investigation found.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Do you know that more strokes occur between November and February? The holidays can be a time of stress, disrupted routines, and overindulgence, so there's no better time to do something easy to manage your heart health. CardioMobile 6L is a small, medical-grade, personal EKG device that records right to your phone. It takes a six-lead EKG in seconds, and it's FDA-cleared to detect AFib, a leading cause of stroke. If you're thinking, who can afford that? The answer is you. CardioMobile 6L records six times the heart data than any smartwatch at a fraction of the cost. And now, through the end of the year, you can get CardioMobile 6L for only $109. Just go to Cardia.com, that's Cardia.com, or go to Amazon to order your CardioMobile 6L today. There is no better time to manage your heart health than right now. Sponsored by AliveCore.
Big news! Rob Schmidt just beat CNN in the ratings. Yeah, it's true. Newsmax's number one host, Rob Schmidt, just had a bigger audience than CNN during any hour of the day. That really is big. Millions of Americans like you are making the switch to Newsmax. They're getting the real facts. No BS and no spin. Just the truth. Even President Trump says he's watching Newsmax. You should too. Rob Schmidt and Newsmax are on all major cable systems. YouTube TV just added us. If your system doesn't carry Newsmax, just call them and cancel. Go to GetNewsmax.com and we'll help you find a new carrier. 40 million Americans watch Newsmax. Find out why. Go to GetNewsmax.com and start watching. Newsmax is real news for real people like you.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 31st and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number, 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, Debt Lou is here for you. With Debt Lou's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at Debt Lou are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
This is an urgent announcement for anyone that's $10,000 or more in debt. Before you make another minimum payment, you need to know there are special programs that can completely free you of your debt. Total Financial Freedom can help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and timeshares. Call Total Financial Freedom now at 800-832-2366 for a free consultation. For 17 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. You can feel confident when calling because Total Financial Freedom is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Battling for years and years stuck in the endless cycle of minimum payments could take decades. You have the right to get your debt resolved and substantially reduce your monthly payments. Call Total Financial Freedom now at 800-832-2366. That's 800-832-2366. 800-832-2366.
Not available in all states.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
All right, we got a bunch of news, and we're keeping our ear to the ground on Capitol Hill, of course. We'll share all of that with you as the situation evolves. I've got Islam in Europe. I've got a lot of news today. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Rick, calling from Elmwood Park, New Jersey. Ricardo, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I got a letter off the Univision News from Luigi Mangione, and he sounds like an eco-terrorist. Would you like me to read a little bit?
Yeah, read a little. You know, he was obsessed with Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, who was an eco-terrorist.
Okay, so it says, in this article, we argue that the Industrial Revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race. They have greatly increased the life expectancy of those of us who live in advanced countries, but have destabilized society, have made life unfulfilling, have subjected human beings to indignities, have led to widespread psychological suffering. In the third world, it's physical suffering as well, and have inflicted severe damage on the natural world. The continued development of technology will worsen the situation. It will subject human beings to greater indignities and inflict greater damage on the natural world.
What do you think? Where do you think he learned all that stuff?
The school of Al Gore global warming.
That's right. Anti-technology, that makes him a Luddite in addition to being an eco-terrorist, right, Rick?
Yeah, and a crazy person on top of that.
Kind of a run-of-the-mill Democrat. Give a run-of-the-mill Democrat a pistol and, hey, CEO, I hate CEOs. Successful people, I hate successful people. The Industrial Revolution, they're mad about things that happened centuries ago, like their slavery.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR. To thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. All of us at North Valley Distributing wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
Happy holidays from our home helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Or there, I've got to say. But that's it. Hey, Wolf, if you're looking at the C-SPAN count there on how many from this party are voting for it, against it, and how many from that party are voting for and against it, maybe you should also mention the Democrats, because they were in lockstep voting against it at the same time. But that's what the news media does. They're not there to inform the public or tell the truth. They're there to be handmaidens to the Democrat Party.
So the fact that you have Democrats who normally would vote for this, refusing to do so, not because they disagree with a clean CR, not because they disagree with disaster relief, not because they disagree with aid to our farmers. No, they're doing so because they're upset that the debt ceiling increase is being taken off the table as leverage for them in future negotiations. That's what they're upset about.
That's what they're upset about. It is just 100% politics. They could, like Schumer and the Democrats, care about Christmas and little Timmy getting his G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip. They could care less, you know, getting the Easy Bake Oven to little Lisa. They don't care. Trust me, they don't care. They want children to be brainwashed at the earliest possible age to be anti-Republican. So if they can rob them of their Christmas, and then Wolf Blitzer will blame Republicans for it, even though 6,000 Democrats voted against it and 38 Republicans voted against it. I know it's not 6,000 Democrats, but almost all of them vote against it. But that's never mentioned, because it's all propaganda. And I know Wolf Blitzer, and he's a perfectly nice man and all that stuff, but the filth that CNN has become and the propaganda that they peddle is a disgrace to what we used to call journalism, and we shouldn't call it that anymore. Should have a new name for it. Hey, what should we call journalism? The filthies. Come the filthies. Just amazing stuff. So the Washington Post: Republicans scrap spending bill under pressure from Trump and Musk. And Musk, they got this. They've got a musky thing. The Democrats are obsessed with Elon Musk in a sexual and non-sexual fashion. Pretty amazing stuff. But we'll get into this. The big lie. And I do have to say to the 38 Republicans, just, you know, suck it up. Give your own party the win. Give President Trump the win and move on. It's not a big loss for you. It's not. Play the long game. Look at the big picture. Don't look at the world through a straw. Well, I'm not going to. It's a matter of principle. I can't vote for this because, you know, that's in it. Okay. I do get it. I get it. But, like when you're talking to AOC and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders about assassinating CEOs, they say murder is wrong, but, and then they explain why it's right, because they're really in favor of murder because they're not liberals, they're leftists. All right, let's go to a phone call, Michael. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. I believe that these 38 Republicans need to just get on board. You know, we're expecting you. It's the love boat. And let's sail to a brighter future where President Trump doesn't have to get into this idiotic fight on January 20th and January 21st because, you know, the Republicans screwed over the Republicans again. Can you? Will you? Do you learn from history? Let's go to the phones, Michael. Let's go to Nina, calling from Bristow, Virginia. Nina, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Mr. Plant. Thank you so much for being the voice of reason every damn morning that I drive to work.
You're very welcome. I'm very happy to play that role.
Yeah, thank you. I have a question / statement. So it's regarding the CR bill and funding to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Yeah.
My question / statement is, why are taxpayers paying for that when the port has insurance to cover it, as well as the company, Evergreen, I think it was, or whatever company it was that hit it, they also have insurance. So why does the federal government have to pay for that bridge through our tax money? My statement regarding that is, if I remember correctly, 2 days after it fell down, Biden rushed to the news to let him know that nobody has to worry, it's okay, we're going to take care of it. Well, I happen to know a little thing about insurance. When you have an insurance claim, there's an investigation. to make sure that it's worthy of an insurance claim. And so I'm wondering if the reason why the federal government is planning to pay for that bridge is so that nobody investigates as to what actually really happened. I don't consider the FBI investigation a true one, obviously. So anyways, question/statement. What do you think, sir?
Isn't it terrible that we just don't trust, even the FBI, which used to be the most trustworthy of federal government institutions, unless you were a black civil rights leader, in which case you've been resentful for decades. But at the same time, the FBI, we can't trust or believe the FBI anymore. And now this ship crashed into it, right? The Dolly, like Salvador and not Parton.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, like Salvador and not Parton, D-A-L-I, and it crashed in. And surely they do have insurance, and then you sue the company to make up the deficit. If the insurance doesn't cover it all, the state has insurance, the bridge is insured, they've got all of these things, but then they say, oh, well, we'll just throw billions of taxpayer dollars at it, because we're Congress, and that's what we do. And why, you ask, are we, the taxpayers, on the hook for this, when you've got the shipping line, the state of Maryland, the city of Baltimore, the port of Baltimore, you have all these other entities, and then it falls to the federal government and to us, American taxpayers, billions of dollars, to fund all of it. Why, you want to know. And you know that there's no good answer to that, right? Because the bureaucracy has consumed the episode. And when the bureaucracy comes in, it makes members of Congress look generous to say, well, I was behind, billions of dollars to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, even though a foreign shipping company and the ship, the Dolly, which has an owner, are clearly responsible for the incident. And now, do you suspect that there is something more to this than the ship crashing into the bridge and knocking it down?
Well, I've watched that video. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to it. I won't forget it. It was incredible. I remember praying for all of those that were impacted by it. If my sniffer's right, it has to do with not doing an investigation, a thorough insurance investigation. I think that, you start pointing fingers at, oh, it was the bridge. Oh, it was the people who were not following the boat, the guides. Oh, it was this and that. And it just feels and smells. It's like the COVID shot, right? I didn't have any evidence as to why I was not going to take it, but it was a gut instinct, and damn if I wasn't right. This is the same thing for me. There's just something fishy about it. Makes no sense why we would jump the gun and foot the bill for something that it's insured, as you just pointed out. State, the port, as well as the shipping company. Just doesn't make any sense to me, and it's sad. I pray that God's wrath come swift and quickly upon all of these people that have been abusing us. We are the slaves that Moses pulled out of Egypt. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. I love that you follow your instincts and you believe in trust your instincts. I love that. I think most people should, until you've proven yourself to be, wrong about everything. I think you should always go with your instincts. And I believe your instincts, and I like your instincts very much. Let me say that for openers.
Thank you, sir.
And they're saying,
sir. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Nina. And I guess, they were saying that the bridge would cost $1.7 billion to $1.9 billion to rebuild. And then the Congress gets a hold of it in a 1,547-page bill, which is supposed to be just a stopgap measure to get us through a couple of months. And the Krupniks take over. And before you know it, we're on the hook for everything, aren't we? Because the Democrats and the Republicans are no great shakes when it comes to most of this stuff either. Our government is a disappointment, I think it would be fair to say. And it's true that you can't believe, Nina, you can't believe the FBI anymore. That is tragic. It really is bad. We've become more and more like the Soviet Union in so many ways. And I believe that's because the left is here. In ways that the left has never been here in the United States before. But the Democrat Party has been taken over by the real left, by the actual left. And they're not liberals at all. These are not the good guys. They're not just here to, feed the hungry. We feed the hungry in the United States. These guys are here to steal everything and wreck the place and demolish capitalism and bankrupt everyone. That's just who they are. It's what they do, you know. Nina, thank you, and I, you know, we'll see where this goes. And again, you got a Republican Speaker of the House. You got a Republican, very slim, slender majority in the House of Representatives. Schumer, the Lizard King, and the rapscallions that follow him are in charge of the Senate, and they're here to damage the Republican Party. That's what they that's their primary goal in life, is to damage the Republican Party. And they don't care if the country goes down like the Titanic. If the Democrats call it a win, then the country will go down like the Titanic and they'll declare victory. They don't give a flying hoot. A flying hoot, I tell you. As long as the Republicans lose. Because for them, it's just all about the midterms, the next midterms. As Howard Dean explained when he was the Democratic National Committee chairman, he created the permanent campaign. There is no time off between elections. They just turn everything into an ongoing fight forever from election to election.
Remember I talked about the permanent campaign? Well, before I got to the DNC, we didn't have a permanent campaign. You would campaign for 1 year when you had a candidate, and then if you didn't win, you wouldn't campaign for the next 3 years. No wonder we lose. Now we don't just have a permanent campaign for electing Democrats. We have a permanent campaign for influencing policy. It brings us a little closer to the European model.
It brings us a little closer to the European model. This Europe envy thing is so pathetic. It's so sad. It genuinely is. They're a ridiculous bunch of people, and they don't know what gender is. They don't know what a woman is. We've got a Supreme Court justice that couldn't tell us what a woman is. Isn't that amazing? And they want men showering with girls in school locker rooms because it makes them feel like they're open-minded. They're so open-minded, their brains fell out. Aren't they amazing? Just extraordinary. And the news media, this is kind of an interesting development. The Wall Street Journal has a piece that everybody knew all along that Joe Biden was severely mentally impaired while he was president, but they didn't say anything because they're liars and Democrats, but I repeat myself. And Chris Lickspittle Saliza posted a video. I was like, well, gosh, maybe I should have asked a question or done my job or something like that. Ex-CNN pundit apologizes for ignoring Biden's mental decline. Yeah, well, maybe you should have been listening to this show. Maybe you should have been following the news. And the Wall Street Journal, how the White House functioned with a diminished Biden in charge. It's kind of fun, but if you've been paying attention, it was obvious to you all along. Not the news media, but to you and to me. 888-630-9625.
CNN sucks.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Paid for by Estella's Pharma.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? The stress from excessive credit card debt can ruin your life. Collection calls, sleepless nights. If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLou is here for you. DebtLou uses secret programs that most credit card companies won't tell you about. They'll help you consolidate or settle your debts for a fraction of what you owe. With DebtLou's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved. There's no risk. The more you owe, the more DebtLou can save you. See how easy it is to get started with free information. Let DebtLou show you how 10 minutes could save you thousands. Call now, 800-200-6895. That's 800-200-6895.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLou are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
This is an urgent announcement for anyone that's $10,000 or more in debt. Before you make another minimum payment, you need to know there are special programs that can completely free you of your debt. Total Financial Freedom can help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and timeshares. Call Total Financial Freedom now at 800-832-2366 for a free consultation. For 17 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. You can feel confident when calling because Total Financial Freedom is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Battling for years and years stuck in the endless cycle of minimum payments could take decades. You have the right to get your debt resolved and substantially reduce your monthly payments. Call Total Financial Freedom now at 800-832-2366. That's 800-832-2366. 800-832-2366.
Not available in all states.
Former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. In my line of work, I've seen firsthand how fast the world can change. With rising geopolitical tensions and inflation eating your buying power, it's time to take action. For me, that means gold. And for gold, I exclusively trust Advantage Gold. I urge you to do the same. Call them now at 800-900-8000 for a free gold guide to discover the security that comes with owning precious metals. Again, call 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Ah, yes. All right, I've got a lot of audio for you. And again, we're keeping a close eye on Capitol Hill. See what happens there. But I will share with you what I believe to be President Trump's thinking on all of these matters. And I will share that with you coming up because we're sorting it out. And also, amazing story. I shared this with you days ago now. A Tennessee college where an African-American student found a horrible racial slur written on here. Look at my desk. There's the N-word. Well, an investigation ensued, and you'll never believe what they discovered. That's coming up. Right now, let's go back to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Chuck, calling from the great state of Tennessee. Charles, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Well, first off, Chris, thank you very much for everything that you do. And when I found you a couple years ago, when all this madness started, I mean, you were just a breath of fresh air to be able to hear the truth for a change.
The truth for a change. I love the truth. My mother taught me to be truthful. Started at a very early age.
Yeah, so that's great. So did my parents, too. I was raised in a military family. Of course, I joined. And also, the other thing is, when you play the national anthem at the end of every show. I mean, I can't hear that song enough.
Yeah.
It just fills me with pride. But like all other Americans, I'm just, I mean, I'm not, I got to be careful with my language here because it upsets me so much. But what the heck is wrong with these damn Republicans? This is what we voted for. We want this change. We don't want the 1,500-page bills no more. We don't want all the crud stuffed in there. We don't want all the little dirty secrets. And who cares about a stadium in Washington, D.C.? We got a country to fix. Come on. Get your act together. This is what we voted for.
Right. Yeah. No, maybe you should run for Congress now.
Well, I know one thing. Yeah, because of shows like you and the people you have on your shows, I'm going to remember this. And I'm going to write down all these names, and I'm going to do everything I can and post everything I can to make sure these people never get reelected.
Yeah, it is because amazing what we see. We see it again and again and again, year after year, election after election, don't we?
Yes, and it's just... It's sickening because, come on, we gave a, I mean, our voice is clear, and this is how out of touch these people that you're surrounded by in D.C. I feel sorry for you and your staff, but, you know, you told me before, I was the one that said, how do you deal with all these morons? And he said, well, we have tunnels, so we avoid them.
Right.
But, you know, he kind of laughed at that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, to be surrounded by all these clueless people, it's just because they're out of touch with what we want, and it's obviously true.
Well, and a lot of them, like Chip Roy, for example, he believes that he's opposing this based on principle because he can't vote for something that says, let's ignore the debt ceiling, right? And I kind of get that, Chuck. But, right?
Yeah.
But in this instance, the broader context, the bigger picture is, give your own party the win. Just get on board with your own party. And the speaker, you know, may need some help. But these are fascinating times, Chuck.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.